600.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Richard Davies. Could anything have been done to avoid turbulence blamed for injuries of five passengers and crew? That's the question today for federal crash investigators. They're looking into what happened to a United Airlines flight yesterday, rocked by turbulence just before landing at Billings, Montana.
Turbulence is not uncommon and often hits without warning, hurting crew members the most. Every year, turbulence injures on average 32 people in aircraft, and more than two-thirds of those hurt are crew members.
Maybe she's David Curley. A family from Goshen, Indiana, were on that Ethiopian Airlines flight was hijacked by a member of the crew early yesterday. It was on its way to Italy, but was diverted to Switzerland. Passenger Jolene Strock said it was unnerving.
There was no communication with the crew. We didn't hear anything after all of the yelling of, you know, put your mask on, put your mask on, sit down, sit down.
Well, the government went on for hours. The plane did land safely. The regime in North Korea being accused of crimes against humanity. The United Nations panel issued a long report of allegations that included deliberate starvation and torture of political prisoners. Michael Kirby, the retired Australian judge who headed that panel, said witness accounts sound like
one of the witnesses in one of the camps told of how his duties include gathering up the bodies of those who have died of starvation and putting them in a pot to burn.
President Obama today setting to announce new fuel efficiency proposals for many trucks. The harsh winter weather in much of the country is pushing up energy costs, whether it's for oil, electricity, natural gas, or propane. Those costs are higher. This is ABC News.
Your Ford service technician checks a lot of things to keep your car healthy.
Synthetic blend oil change. Check. Tires rotated. Check. Brake inspected. Check. Battery tested. Check.
But what's happened
done
when you
wait
your turn?
Built to hose. Check. Moving topped off. Check. Wipers and lights. Check. All done by expert Ford service tech. Check. Check maintenance off your list at your Ford dealer. Up to 544. Taxes even when you're supposed to be debit. Rebate by prepaid debit card. Participating Ford dealer for exclusions and rebate details at 331-14.
Another winter snowstorm. Some areas could get as much as 6 inches today. Chicago has now tied a record for the most sub-zero days in any winter. Indianapolis with its snowiest season on record. More of the latest storm will be seen tomorrow.
Across the Midwest, howling wind, ice, and snow. Some areas got 1 to 3 inches for hours. Whiteout, parts of Iowa, Wisconsin. In Chicago, there's so much snow on the ground, the snowbanks are now taller than cars.
An artist in South Florida who faced years in prison for the show demand to live in a smashed up day worth $1 billion at Miami's New Art Museum. Practice in Sandland happened today by a cop who beat three people down. Hundreds of riot police tried to clear out anti-protesters or anti-government protesters. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Your blood donation can help save the lives of up to three people. Make a difference in the lives of others. Give blood to the American Red Cross to help hospital patients. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcrossblood.org today.
When shopping for car insurance, don't end up buying more insurance for more price. Instead, talk to Safe Auto. Always the right car insurance for the right price. Right now, 1-800-SAFE-AUTO. Call, select, and enjoy the road ahead.
Well, I'm
basketball return for News Talk 600 WFLA. And the critics are at home this season. News Talk 600 will be there. From the opening tip-off to the final question, we'll hear all the action. News Talk 600. Brought to you by the Insurance Center of Salem, Butek Bliss, and Salem Tire Service. Salem Quaker Basketball from the Salem High School Boosters and News Talk 600 WSOM. Listen to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon on WSOM. Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. It's the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll-free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Is to you. It's Mornings with Tracy and Friends. How you doing out there? It's Jeff in the air chair hanging in for Tracy while she takes care of some other business things she got to do. She'll be in here in just a little while and we'll be underway with both of us. But right now you got me. And I missed yesterday, so you know what? I got a lot in my craw that I'm just dealing with here and trying to be nice and trying to be, you know, really, really cool on this, on this global warming day. Listen, is anybody in the United States believe this global warming right now? Oh, I've heard the arguments because I got a lot of time yesterday later that I could look up some things. And I'm going to tell you what. One of the things that they want to do that they're talking about out here is the not only the global warming, but also the the creationist versus the Darwinian theory that he repented of when he was on his deathbed. Said the only thing I wanted to do was try to prove why my son was died. See, we can't get to that. But anyway, we got all this stuff jumping off out of here. We got all this global warming happening everywhere, frigid temperatures and all of this. Some people would say that there's an ice age happening because the lakes haven't, frozen over. The Great Lakes haven't frozen over in years. They're trying to keep some links open up there so they can get some things into Chicago and the other places through the Great Lakes because it's been so cold. But the global warming people, or now the climate change people, you know what they say?
Well, you know, the heat pushed the polar vortex out of place and it's no longer up in, you know, the North Pole. Well, you know what?
I'd like to ask somebody, tell me what the temperature is at the North Pole. I wonder, is the ice expanding now? That's all I want to know. I want to know, is the ice expanding now? I want to know, are the polar bears dying out, and are they moving to Chicago? Who's had the most sub-zero days? They matched the old record. How do you match an old record when you have global warming? I don't know. But here's what I say. I agree with the MIT scientist. The MIT scientist said, at times the globe does change temperatures, climate change works, happens, but it has nothing to do with what we do or don't do. It has to do with natural, super things that happen across the whole globe. And at the most, think about this. Nuclear testing could account for knocking the Earth off its axis. We know that one of the last earthquakes, I think it's the earthquake in Haiti, knocked the Earth off its axis a certain degree. Now, whether it's righted itself now or not, I don't know. But I know this, our cars and our factories are not causing climate change, as they say. But we'll leave that alone. President Obama finally has decided to say something about African-American unemployment. And he's instituted the My Brother's Keeper, program where businesses are supposed to get in and help keep black men on the track of going to school and doing certain things. I find this very, very strange. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen because, you'll get one or two businesses to help one or two people. But that's not enough. You have to go and attack this thing on a macro basis. You cannot attack it on a silly basis of trying to get somebody, just like he came out in the State of the Union talking about, give your people a raise out there. Give your people a raise. The economy is not moving like it should be. And it's because of this administration's policies that they have done with EPA and with banking and with certain other departments that they have, they can rate policy with. They're making policy. And they just really, really are destroying the way we make money in this country. I know that a lot of people think I'm crazy for saying that, but I'm not. Coal, ladies and gentlemen, is 40%. 40% of our grid of electricity. They've declared war on coal in these latest rounds that they just instituted back in November, December, are going to put the final knife in its back. And guess what? Your electric costs are going up exponentially because they've already risen because you've gotten rid of all the cheap electricity in Ohio and Pennsylvania and West Virginia with these regulations, shut down a whole lot of coal-fired plants that were making energy. Coal is still cheaper than natural gas. Wind is not enough. In fact, so if the wind stops blowing, what do you do? See, this is the stupidity. Somebody call me. Tell me I'm crazy. Please. Somebody call me and justify what these people are saying. Caller, you're in the air.
How you doing, Jeff? Good morning. This is Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's going on, buddy?
Pretty good, Jeff. Well, first of all, I'm kind of disappointed in you about the businesses. See, even some of programs in school, some the city don't have money. Sometimes the businesses have to pitch in and help out. And, you know, I hear some people conservative says, you know what, we don't need to give taxes for certain things. We need the businesses can do charities. Now Obama just saying businesses help out. Don't let the government do it. And you have a problem with that.
Oh, no, they're not saying that.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, Jeff, what are they saying,
what
Jeff?
What they're telling you is we've been trying to lift this economy with government programs, and it's not working. We need you businesses to come out there and save our butts. That's what they're telling you.
See, and that's what you conservatives feel. Y'all feel that government cannot do anything. Hold on. But the core concept of a Republican said when it comes to charity, get the government out of it and let the businesses help out. And he's saying the same thing now, and now you have a problem with it.
Come into charity. Well, here's the problem with that. You know that conservatives give at least, 10%, 12% of their income to the needy. But you know what? The rich liberal gives about 2-3% to different causes. And so here's the thing. It's not going to do us any good. We need to keep some certain things in place. We need a welfare department. We need a food stamp program for those that are less, off, better than us, not better than us. And we need those things for the poor. I'm not against that. But what I'm against is paying for bad behavior. I don't want to pay a young lady to go and lay up and screw her man all day and all night, whatever time, and watch cartoons and soap operas, and then go collect the check and then go to the grocery store with a direction card and buy better groceries than I buy.
Now how many of you people you think on food stamps, out of percentage of all people getting food stamps welfare, actually do that?
A whole lot of them?
Well, no. Not
black and white, so I don't want you to think I'm just talking about black folks, because I'm
under
not.
10%. Jeff,
under 10% of what?
It's for all people who getting welfare and subsidies. Only about 7-8% of the people are just not doing nothing, messing around. Because you got to realize, what about welfare? For I know these women are having kids, but they can't stay on there without working or a job program.
That's not true. Yes, they can, because if they have any type of a sickness or disability at all, they do not have to go to work. And all they have to do is prove that every time that they ask, they get something like 8 months or so to recover or to get better or whatever it is. And if there's anything wrong with them, they do not have to work. And President Obama made that much easier 3 years ago.
Well, you have to blame it on the doctors, because they can't do that without the doctor saying that they're messing. Now, they're saying only 30% of people on Social Security disability. But, like, only 60%, like, people from Walmart, a lot of people in Walmart are getting food stamps. I've seen it with my own eyes, and they work.
Sure.
An employee from Walmart. Right now, Jeff, now you know what I said. Now, to me, I like a deal. Let's keep the welfare level income at the same level for, incomes per month to qualify for those services. But these businesses are going to have to come up per hourly and have some balance. But, Jeff, if there's no balance, you're going to have to subsidize them. See, us black Americans are caught in between a rock and a hard place, Jeff. And one thing I never hear people is talking about cheap labor. We're unique as a black Americans because we don't have immigrants. We can't pour our money in other countries like cheap labor. We should never work for cheap labor in this country. Not a black American. Our grandfathers and grandmothers did it. We shouldn't do it. So if I wanted to start a manufacturing company and hire most of my community on your manufacturing scale, cheap labor is killing me out as an African American business.
Well, once again, my friend, you're looking at it the wrong way. If you start a company, you're in there to be prosperous. You're not in there to give jobs. That's number one. But if you did want to create a business just to give jobs, that's good. That's a good and lofty goal, and you can do that. But the thing is you're going to have to get the people to work for you that will do that and make sure that those things happen for you. That's going to have to be what's going on. But we're going to have to take a quick break. When I get back, Alabama, and Matt, you're going to be up and live, and, man, you stay and hang in there. Baltimore, and we'll be back with you here in just a few seconds.
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township.
WSOM online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back once again. Mornings with Tracy and Friends here. And we're talking to you about whatever's on our mind here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial. And we're talking about all of the things that are happening with the unemployment, with the president coming out and saying he's going to start a new initiative for African-American men called My Brother's Keeper, which is a nice gesture. It took him 5 years, a little over 5 years, to get this in the works after the Black Caucus was sick of being embarrassed by him not doing anything or lifting his hand. He comes with a program that is weak at best, but a step in the right direction, although he'll never get it off the ground before 3 years are up, because he's making the climate to do business very bad in America. Government does not make business or sell anything or create anything to be sold, other than, I should say, our military can be paid to protect other nations, which they should be. Okay, so that's one way the United States can bring in some money. However, we give out more in foreign aid than our military necessarily brings in by other, and then the expense of keeping our military uplifted in the countries that we're in, it's a bad situation. So he comes with an initiative. But then he wants, businesses to step in and help. But he's destroying the ability for businesses to do anything in America. Now, that doesn't make sense. That's just like any of you that are biblical people. Think about when the children of Israel were enslaved in Egypt, and the Pharaoh got angry with them because they wanted to go, get free. And he says, well, you're going to make more bricks, but you're going to do it with less straw. So they made it harder to do. This is what is happening in America right now. This administration is telling businesses to create more bricks, but he's withholding the straw, which is money and regulations and the things that he's doing because he believes that the globe is warming up because those businesses are making too much CO2 in the air. Ladies and gentlemen, CO2 causes green plants to grow. Green plants give off oxygen. They make oxygen. They keep us with air and fresh air. So you need the CO2. Al Gore is hollering about overpopulation, and he starts with Africa. I wonder why. All you that would have voted for him. I wonder why Al Gore started with the overpopulation in Africa, saying that there's more Africans than there are Asians. Maybe it's because he knew if he went to Asia and said anything, they'd hand his butt to him. But the Africans, they keep poor, and they cannot rise above their circumstance in most cases. Not all cases, but in most cases. So I'm going to bring it back up. Alabama.
Well, what's up, man?
It's got to be you, man. Put your window up because you're making lots of noise.
It is, man. I'm going to just mute my mic, but I had 2 points. The first point, President Obama, I mean, supporters are waiting on anything he gives them. So it doesn't make a difference if this works. It's an emotional move for people to look. He did this. He made this move. So now they're just going to support it regardless of whether it makes sense. It goes against, if he's asking business to do this, then later on he can't complain and say, well, when we say business, then they have to kind of give concede that point. So it's kind of like, which you can't have it both ways. That's the first point. The second point, yesterday when I was on the phone, I think Tracy took the last hour just to go on a rant, and she really wouldn't let me get my words out. And I felt like it was just like me, everybody's ganging up on me against like 5 or 6 people. And this is the point I was trying to make, because you did call back and say it with Jeff. The point I was trying to make was that if you look at where black people are today, you look at America, you look at the history of what's taking place, I'm not saying, hey, let's make excuses and don't try and we can't do this because of the white man this, the white man that. No, what I'm saying is, if you look at the financial footing of black people, you look at where we are, what we've done, you have to kind of take into account the moves, the steps that were made through government to hinder the financial economic development of the black community. And I think that to sit here and to be like, oh, we're just making excuses, is why black conservatives never get anywhere with blacks, because black people know enough history to say, wait a minute, they did this, they did, they know enough. They don't know all of it, but they do know enough to say, well, hey, this is why the government, this the government's done this, so we can't get here. They won't say government. They'll say, you know, whatever, Republicans or whatever. But they'll blame it on somebody. They know enough, and they have an actual point. And I think you have to, if you're going to get through to people, you have to say, yeah, that did happen, this took place, and it had an effect. I think you have to acknowledge that. If you don't, then you're gonna struggle trying to win another, you know, get through to people, even though I agree with all the points that you guys make, but you, and I'm a conservative, but let's not act as though the COINTELPRO and all these different programs and all these different moves they made, even with welfare, saying you can't have a husband in the house. I mean, they play a game with the black community, and I think we've been kind of you're just lazy. You can't sum up every black person as lazy. That's like, I'm going to give you a good example, and I'm going to stop talking.
Let's look at Henry Ford.
Let's look at all these different people that started these companies, like all these, you know, the Rockefeller, Carnegie. Everybody that was working in those factories didn't have the skills that a Rockefeller and a Carnegie had. However, because there was a Rockefeller and a Carnegie, rising tides raises all boats. So a lot of white and Europeans benefited from those guys and what they did. But if you hinder the Rockefellers and the Carnegies of the African-American community, as soon as they get a few dollars, and that has been done. I'm sorry. Now, the principle and the way out is going to be through economics. I believe that. And I'm not saying be lazy. I'm not saying sit around and don't do nothing and sit on your hands and complain. I hate that about us, because a lot of us are scared to come out because it's the caged bird, you know, the old gospel song, you're free because I paid the price, and they stayed in the cage because they didn't know they were free. That's black people now. That's what I was trying to say. I just don't think we you have to psychoanalyze. It's like a woman's been raped and battered, and now you're like, be normal. A woman that's been raped probably is not going to function like a woman that hasn't been raped. Most black people have been raped and beaten, and proverbially, financially, and in other ways, psychologically. Even to this day, a lot of things are still going on. So let's not just sweep that under the rug.
Well, nobody's sweeping anything under the rug, but what I'm trying to tell you is you said they blame somebody. Well, there is a somebody direct that they should blame, and that direct that they should blame is to blame the liberal Democrats, and that's because they're the ones that have taken the steps to make sure that their businesses – I'm going to have to mute you, Doc, because that's too much noise – that they've taken the time to destroy your ability to do business in your community. When we open up enterprise zones and try to get money down to you, like President Obama is mimicking now with these zones that he wants to do in different communities. Well, you know why he wasn't doing them before? Because Democrats don't believe in those zones. They don't believe in them. You know why they don't believe in them? Because primarily you have to reduce taxes. And taxes are the only way they stay in power. Taxes and unions. Why do you think it was such a huge blow to them to lose organizing that plan? I'm going to have to mute you. Organizing that plan up there. Oh, no, that's not you. They got to be Matt. Oh, Chicago. Okay, I'm gonna hold you back a little bit, Baltimore, because you're the one that's making all that noise. That's going out over my ear, and I can't hear nothing. But anyway, the reason why they're doing this is because they've kept you in a place since 1960 that you can't escape from because you believed a goofy lie about, well, all the prejudiced Republicans in the South, prejudiced Democrats in the South left the Democratic Party.
Jeff, yesterday I made the point, and there was, I think, I don't know if she's still here, but a lot of people are lazy. Everybody was, yeah. And I'm like, look, it was just a witch hunt. And they want to go at black people more. Well, black people are just lazy. They just, look, man, you're not going to win elections. You're not going to win by calling people lazy, even though there are a lot of lazy people.
Wait a minute. Who called
Tracy
black people lazy?
Tracy said this yesterday. When I was on the line yesterday.
Listen. She was probably saying something to a certain segment of the black community, not black people, because black people are not lazy. And I would take umbrage with that because I'd be ticked off if somebody told me I'm lazy when I've always worked 2 and 3 jobs. Okay, from the time that I was 13 years old.
Well, when I'm talking about lazy, you make a point. I felt that way at times, but I'm not talking about lazy in the lines of it. I guess lazy is not a good word to sum it up, but there are times where we tend to say, okay, I'm more job-oriented than I am, business-oriented. That's the mentality with a lot of people.
I want to get Matt in here on this.
They have that mentality more so than the other, mentality.
Gotcha. Matt, you are in there.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Good.
I'm not very familiar with what you're talking about. I've kind of backed off from the news for the last week and a half. But it sounds to me like it's just a feeble attempt just to excite a base for the upcoming midterms and the future of a liberal presidency. It doesn't sound like there's any real moves being made by Obama, just some rhetoric. If he was serious about it, he's already said, I have a phone and I have a pen, and look at some of the other legislation that he pushed through that he made sure went through, like health care. If he was serious about, what you're talking about, he would make it happen out of pure executive power. It would happen. So I don't think he's serious in any way, shape, or form. I think he's just trying to excite a base that he has ignored since his election, his first election, you're not going to see anything come of it.
Excuse me.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably very right. It is, and he had to do something because I'm going to tell you what, the Black Caucus is really upset about this and about the inactivity. So I don't know. My biggest problem is this. I don't care if he does something directly for Black people or not. He is stopping everybody from being able to be employed by shutting down businesses and shutting down a whole sector of your energy that provides 40% of your energy. 40% of your energy comes from coal-fired plants. It does not make sense for you to go and jump to some solar and air when they're not developed enough to take that part in the grid. And guess what? All it would take is somebody to explode a nuclear bomb over our atmosphere, and your solar and probably your wind too is dead.
Well, you know, Jeff, I think they know this quite well. And as a matter of fact, if they get the liberal Shangri-La that they're hoping for, you're going to see these coal and these coal plants and all these other plants reopen, but it will reopen underneath control of the government. They know that that's the only way. They know that these green energy, quote-unquote, solutions aren't where they need to be technologically. They know that it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to put across the entire grid, not even the entire grid, a very small part of the grid it's going to be feeble on. They know that. What they're trying to do is do what they did in the Ohio Valley. They shut down all those coal plants. They put a bunch of people out of work. And they're hoping for the entire system to crash so they can come in and save it like they did GM.
Hold on, Matt. Hold on till after this, and I want you to finish that. We'll be right back.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, that was just, that's all I'm getting to, is it's part of the control.
Hey, Matt, did he unmute me? Yeah, you unmuted. Yeah, I don't know what he was talking about. That wasn't me. But listen, bro, you made a lot of good points. See, and one thing, Alabama? I'm not a liberal. I worked for the polls for Obama in 08, but I didn't vote for him in 2012, so nobody can't call me a liberal. But see, you called yourself a conservative, and that's the most dangerous thing you can possibly do, sir, because if you listen, see, you're starting to open up. If you listen to these so-called, quote-unquote, conservatives, and we don't have to go on this Black, it's confusion. Because it's either someone's holding us back and no one is, you know, trying to hold us back.
Hey, I'm driving to work, man. I went out ever since you said open up. I hadn't heard a word you said.
Well, no, so you have to open up because you can see the contradictions in it. You're labeling yourself as something that I don't think, or you can, but you can see the contradictions in the quote-unquote Black conservative or even in a conservative. See, first of all, they say they don't want no government, but then they want the government to come in our bedroom. See, because government will always be a part of us, right? But see, as you were saying, how we were hit, I looked at a documentary of Martin Luther King in 1968 before he died. You had Black men were dressing up in suits and nice. They weren't saggy pants, but they were still holding a sign saying, I am a man. And we still trying to find what a Black man is. A Black man ain't one who's saggy pants. He ain't the one who do this. When people had families back then, they were still crying over the man. We're still always going through this struggle. So
well,
we
let me ask
get
this. Hold on, because I know we don't got long, but this is the thing. As a conservative, I'm pro-business, I'm small government, I'm pro-constitutional rights for every individual, including homosexuals. Now, when I look at homosexuality, I look at that as, and I'm sure you seem to be pro-Black, I look at that as warfare on the community, on the family, especially on the family. This is an express written plan of elitists you know, I ain't going to get in the Illuminati, but this is what they say. This is what they're pushing. So, I have other, of course, spiritual reasons why, but at the same time, hey, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to go with the social, political, or racial politics of it, and I think it has to do with that more so than anything, and this is something that they've stated. So, that's why I'm like that on homosexuality, but I do think when you look at the past with the history of black people and financial and what's been done with us financially, you'd be crazy to just say black people are lazy and they don't want to do anything. And that, look, I know 10, 15, 20 brothers right now. If you give them $1 million, they're not going to be broke in 6 weeks. They're going to go out. They're not going to go, well, they're not going to go buy cars. They're probably going to start a business, buy real estate, and own and create some wealth. That's what they're going to do, but they haven't had that opportunity. And neither have a lot of American, white Americans. But at the same time, there have been times in the past where blacks have tried and they've been knocked down. And to ignore that is foolish. I think that's a very big mistake.
Right,
that
because listen, before you start with economics, you must start with social first. Social will always start before any type of business or process. And if you don't have the social identity, even if I want to start business in my community, I'm going to have to look how my business is going to affect my business, my community socially. That's a fact. So people always want to jump and say, you can change our situation by the economics. No. You never can. You always have to start off with social. How we look at each other, how people want to judge each other, how people want to give each other a chance.
Let me ask you a question. You keep talking about the moment. Let me ask you a question. So you're saying that if we switch roles with the Asians, because the Asians never cry about politics. I don't see them screaming about more blacks in politics, more Asians. They don't care. They just own everything, right? So you switch, you're telling me that there would not be a higher crime rate in the Asian community?
I'm letting you know, money.
Hey. And we're back once again, Morning with Tracy and Friends. And if you're happy, come along and get in on this talk and voice your view here on WSOM 600 AM. Mornings with Tracy and Friends. W600 AM radio on your iHeartRadio dial, as well as on the Blog Talk Radio with Tracy and Friends, and at TracyandFriends.com. And we're talking about a number of things, but about how this economy is running. And I know a lot of people don't understand how it runs, and that's okay. But I just need to tell you something. You need to wake up a little bit and understand how things are running, because how you're voting is destroying your ability to make money. And for you to be solvent, especially those who are of retirement age or retired already, because your costs are about to go up, and they're going to go up big. Matt, I want you to go ahead and finish your statement, and you can reiterate some things, and then unlisted caller, you're still there, or new unlisted caller, you'll be next.
I was just getting to the fact that it was just about re-exciting a base, and all it is a rhetoric change to fit the current atmosphere that, you know, that they're in right now. The liberal, here, let me give you an example really quick. Since I just got through shoveling 10 to 12 inches of global warming off my driveway.
Mine is still in my driveway. I had to roll over today.
I had to wake up early. I wasn't very happy about it. But the rhetoric change with that is, and I've noticed this through quite a few articles, there was one just put out a couple days ago from a Rutgers University professor. And here's the rhetoric change with that to fit the atmosphere. There are so many people that are jumping ship on this man-made global climate change that they're starting to change the way that they put their information out. For instance, this professor said, well, our ice caps are warming up, and went through this whole thing, which I would explain to you, but you don't have enough time. It was ridiculous. Just saying that, you know, the jet streams are actually pushing all the cold air down from the north into the south, and so that's why we're getting cold and the ice caps are melting up. But here's the change in the rhetoric. They said it's unclear at this time whether it's man-made or not. Why are they changing to it's unclear whether it's man-made or not? Because they're trying to get all those people that jump ship back on board so that they can continue to push their agenda. It's the same thing with Washington and all of these agendas. They just change their rhetoric a little to get everybody back on board.
Well, the worst thing about it. Go ahead, man.
Well, real quick. Well, this global woman is like a religion now. All the top scientists there, you know, they don't agree. So actually, we really don't know. It's just like a science religion. That's all I wanted to say right now, Jeff, about that.
Well, Doc, here's the thing. We do know, and the reason why we know is we've been taking measurements for, say, 150 to 200 years, okay? But I think it's only 150 years. Now, with that, we haven't gone drastically out of the realm of doing certain things. My father said that. Huh?
But it has went up.
Well,
because
no, it hasn't.
Because the other side has evidence, too. Well, okay, Jeff, the only thing I'm saying, both sides have evidence, and both of them are saying two different things with the same evidence. And that's the way they look at it.
Well, no, here's the thing. Like I said, once again, my father, who passed away 2 years ago, he was 88 years old. He said when he was a kid that in March, end of March, beginning of April, they were swimming in this little creek, which is, you know, down in the downtown Youngstown area here in Ohio. Well, in March and April, you can't do that here now because it got so freaking cold out here, you can't do it. You don't swim till May, the end of May, beginning of June. So that climate changed. It got colder here. I tell people we have a lake in the middle of Mill Creek Park, which is the largest inner city park in the country, here in Youngstown, Ohio. It's called Lake Glacier. You know why? Because it used to be a glacier. It used to be frozen year round. We used to be on a snowpack right here in upper United States, and it melted away. So now, how the heck, who was global warming us then?
See, there's a difference, distinctions between climate change and global warming. There's a difference. Climate change is that the climate may change, and I agree with you because we don't get snow all the time. Sometimes snow comes late. Sometimes snow comes early during the season. So I'm clear you see that. And throughout the year, the decade, the climate change. But when they say global warming, they're saying that the globe is like a big bubble, and all this heat, and the bubble is getting hotter and hotter and hotter, that's what they're saying global warming is.
That's part of climate change.
Different. But what I'm saying is, right, but the conclusion is different, though.
Yeah, well,
Global warming is the worst. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead, y'all.
Yeah,
the climate's been changing forever. I mean, we went through an ice age, you know. This planet is just basically too old to try to determine this stuff and pinpoint it, you know.
Yeah, I don't think – see, conservatives don't say – Republicans and conservatives are not anti-climate change. Climate change exists. We've always said that. We're missing the two key terms, and this has been trying to be dropped out too, is man-made. We disagree with man-made global – or man-made global warming or man-made climate change.
Climate change.
Listen, if you look back into the late 1800s, through, say, 1970, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, up till we had, you know, just factories, everybody was building a factory, people were burning trash and crap in their backyard, tires in their backyard, for the better part of 100 years. And we didn't have any major climate issues. And all of a sudden, in the last 40, 50 years, they say that it's such an issue, even though we have all of these restrictions.
Do you believe in some sort of air pollution?
Absolutely. I agree that we need to keep an eye on things.
Okay, so what I'm saying is, if you believe in some sense of air pollution, use that same formula that affects us, right? That global, quote-unquote, global warming, that's polluting the air.
I'm not saying that. See, that's a different argument.
Okay,
Because
carbon emission is polluting the air, and that pollution is causing global warming, which is causing the earth to get hotter.
Hold on.
Let me jump in 1 second. If you really look at global warming, if you're not going to get China and India and all these other countries to really start putting out 3 and 4 coal power plants in that, a month or something, 15 a month, something like some crazy number, they're putting out way more. And it's like, we're just really going to stop the economy, the strongest economy in the world. It's really about stopping us, because if you're not going to bring China and make them stop putting them out, they can care less. Now they're going to start selling us chicken. So it's going to be a lot more cancer. It's going to be a lot more stuff going on in our bodies. But I ain't going to get into that. But I'm just saying, I mean, this is kind of crazy for us to sit and spend days and months arguing over the environment when China's putting out 15 a coal plant. Every 2 days, they're putting out another coal plant. That's crazy.
Well, you're only saying that they're doing that to stop people from making money. But having said that, how you know people are not looking at certain numbers and getting worried? They may be doing out of fear. You're just saying they want to keep people from not making money. That you can't say that that's the only reason, guys.
Hold on, Baltimore. Matt, go ahead, and then I'm going to bring in my local caller, then Diva.
I just want to give a quick distinction between pollution and what the global warming thing is doing. First of all, pollution is a localized problem. Like, for instance, San Francisco used to have huge pollution problems. You'd see nothing but a big, giant fog of pollution. That was a local issue. When they turned it into man-made global warming, that's trying to get a hold of the entire global economy. That's what it's all about, is a global takeover through a fictional thing, and what they use as a tool to gain power called man-made global warming. Pollution is a local issue. It's not global.
No, pollution is a world issue, sir. Pollution is a world issue.
Okay, if pollution is a world issue, then make China and India put scrubbers on their smokestacks, which they don't now. And that's why they have the cheapest steel, they have the cheapest of everything.
No. I'm talking about like a nuclear disaster. That's a global issue, and
that's
the
nuclear.
UN and other. Right, but I'm saying we're still talking about pollution of the air, sir. I'm staying with the facts.
It has nothing to do with temperature.
How do you define pollution, sir? You laughing at me. I'm laughing at you. I know the definition of pollution and what it is, and I'm saying pollution is a worldwide
wave. Okay.
Okay.
You know what? Buy it. Go ahead. Buy it.
Okay,
I'm
not giving up my freedom.
We're not giving up freedom. I'll tell you what. I'll do my thing a little bit later. Go ahead, local caller.
Hi, Jeff. It's Deanna. How are you?
Hey, D. How are you?
Good. There's that old saying that I think it's a bushel of truth with a pound of error.
Yes.
Which means that they give you some truth, and then they slide their little agenda in. I think that we're arguing over these words, but there could be a little bit of both truth and error in what they're saying, but I don't think that we, the citizenry, are responsible for this global effect. But I do think that scientists in the military could be experimenting with weather.
Well, they have a program called HARP. That they say that they can effectuate weather to a certain degree.
Right. So I think sometimes, we're arguing over these points, who did this, and it's kind of like a smoke screen. Blame it on somebody else when you're responsible for it.
Absolutely.
And I do think that, our government is trying to use weather as a weapon, and it could really get out of their hands. It could be that, they start something. Last night I was listening to a program that was talking about the the damage that can come if they throw the, I don't remember if it was the core of the Earth, but they could do something that will set in motion events that then they, you know, they can't control.
We're going to get interrupted by a top of the hour news, so Diva, everybody else, can you hold on just a little while, and we'll be right back after these messages, and you guys can talk in the chat room, and...
All right, go ahead.
Oh, we're there already, huh?
Yeah, I think he cut himself off.
Oh, okay. But you know, I am concerned, and sometimes I think in movies or television programs, they'll give us like a little glimpse of something that is happening, you know, like in reality. Somebody knows that something's going on, and then we're entertained with it, and sometimes we don't think about it any more deeply. But I do think that government and corporations are experimenting with a lot of things.
Well, they are. And you know what? Why it bothers me, this whole man-made thing, is the fact of I grew up during the ozone layer scare. And I was being taught in school that the ozone layer was going to completely disappear by the time that I was an adult and I would have to live 100, you know, like 2 miles underground while still wearing suntan lotion just to survive. It was an extremely scary time for me, and the science back then was wrong, and it was turned out to be politically motivated. It put a lot of companies out of business. It had an effect on the economy, and it scared the hell out of a lot of school children. And I'll be damned if I'm going to allow that to happen again with people, because we're in a situation right now to where if we allow this lie to continue, and I'm not saying the climate change lie, that exists. Climate change definitely exists, but to say that it's man-made and these global corporations need to be shut down and we need to stop the economy because of a lie where scientists don't agree and there have been people uncovered with
global warming issues. Hold up, Matt. I honestly don't think that the global corporations are going to shut down. It's just, I guess they grease it where people can't get up where they are. Certain companies are immune to this stuff. It's just other small and mid-sized companies are the ones that's going to suffer, not the big mega that can affect government, like
no,
the ones
right.
that are over. Yeah.
You're right. I didn't mean a complete shutdown. What I meant was a takeover of these corporations, but they have to disguise it first. And that's what I'm talking about.
Did you hear on the news?
So let me ask you something for a minute. Can I ask you a question? So let me get you straight. So you guys actually believe that the government is intentionally doing this for the intention of people not making money, or do you think they just have a false feel?
No, it's about power and control. It's not about people not making money. That's just a symptom.
The government's not running the world, though.
I want to get your concepts right. You said it's about, no, explain, no, get in deeper. It's about power and control from people stop making money, or what?
No, you just didn't listen. You didn't listen. People not making money.
No, I answer that. Can I answer? Man, let me get it, Matt. The thing is, Baltimore, is that, and this is the thing, you can be conservative, Republican, liberal, Democrat, black, pro, whatever, but pan-African, however you want to look at it. When it comes down to it, certain things are just finite. I mean, for one, to sit and believe that there aren't certain corporations and companies and conglomerates that control our government and that want to, they're not pro-capitalist. They're really corporatist. They really want to get in, stop, they want to hybrid, join themselves like a cancer cell, to a particular government and stop other businesses from coming in and stop people from rising from obscurity and becoming their competition. So in order to do that, they've joined themselves with government and made it illegal to fight them. So I can be immune against government. I can be immune to the laws. Meanwhile, you have to come up and fight all these different legal systems because you don't have the money that I have yet. This game has been played. It's being played now, like a book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He talks about going over and what they call extracting their pound of flesh from companies, from countries, because they can't pay them the payments that they're supposed to pay. So I think that's the real gist of it. It's not that we're saying, well, the government. The government is just the Republican or Democrat. Even under Bush, you have to say that he did a lot of things to benefit certain corporations, not everybody.
So I think, and it's not government, and nobody's looking at the government like, well, the Democrats. No, I mean, man, you got to be crazy just to say, just to look at the way Democrats and Republicans operate and say it's just Democrat and Republican. If you do, then you really are lost mentally.
Well, I was thinking that some Congress people have invested in the competitor of the Keystone Pipeline. And that's why, you know, because they have money invested with a competing corporation, they're not in favor of developing the Keystone Pipeline. And you think that's where the problem is. They should never have their own personal interests supersede the needs of the people. You figure if they were doing truly what was good to make jobs available in this country and energy available in this country, any source that was reasonable should be pursued. But they don't. Everything's done according to how it's going to affect them. And there is that power class. And with power, you figure power and money go hand in hand. And so these people are in positions where they can legislate and they can keep things controlled, and therefore they can make money. You know, like if they know that property is going to become key property, before any kind of legislation comes up to put in some kind of, you know, like a highway or some kind of a plant, they can buy that property, and then when they sell it, they'll make a profit. They're on the inside track, and it happens here on the local level, you know, all the way up. And what we need to do, you know how they keep, I hated it when they kept talking about we're going to be transparent, because they're the last, you know, the farthest thing from transparent. That's the last thought they have. But truly, if we could force more of this out into the open, and if we did have media outlets that would bring it forward, the people would be informed about what's behind a lot of the things that are happening. And you know, maybe you could curtail some of the corruption if you could get these things out in the light. You could call people on their you know, their work in Congress and in the House and the Senate. You could say, you know, why are you bringing this kind of a bill forward? Oh, let's track it back. You know, it's something special to you. There's a perk in it for you, but it's not right for the country.
So according to you, the reason why they don't want to open up the oil pipeline is because the senators have their money in foreign oil companies, I guess not the, you know, the American companies like, you know, the oil companies in Texas, but they want to invest in other sorts of energy, so the solar and foreign oil. That's why he's not, that's why that, go ahead.
And that's what the global warming people are saying. Because I got a little story for you. Now, we're talking about, you know, this global warming. And did you know that there's an organization called the CCX out of Chicago? And just a few of its players are the inimitable Mr. George Soros, the Joyce Foundation, President Barack Obama, I believe President Barack Obama, and former Vice President Al Gore, and I don't know who else is on that board except Valerie Jarrett has something to do with funneling them money. And so I want you to wake up to this, because guess what? If cap and trade or cap and tax passes, guess how much they'll make a year in trading carbon? Because that's what they're going to do. They trade carbon. So in other words, if I want to operate my big business, I'm going to be allowed so much carbon a year into the atmosphere. And if I can buy your carbon from your business or from what you do, then that carbon, you can use more and put more into the air, which is stupid. But they'll make $10 trillion a year if this passes. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why these scientists are in bed with this. That's why these politicians are in bed with this. Because it will have a total control over your ability to make any money in this country. And guess what else? I saw a documentary on how they're doing it overseas, which is where Al Gore gets the money to run his fleet of jets and build his 33,000 square foot house on the beach. Ladies and gentlemen, Al Gore built a house on the beach where the seas were going to rise. And when the seas rise, they're going to wipe out our coastline. And the coast is going to be Denver on the coast, and the other one's going to be Pittsburgh.
There was some news there, Jeff.
Al Gore is a money-grubbing, lying. You fill in the last blanks.
Okay, Jeff, you know what? I'm sitting back and I'm listening to you.
That's what they're doing, is they're going to control you. In the documentary, I saw where these poor farmers in Vietnam or someplace like that in Indonesia were working their rice fields, and they had to water them at certain times because the water levels are low, because rice needs water. They had these little motors. And this is what the people, they determined that they use so much, put so much carbon with these little gas motors. They gave them bicycles that would carry the water out to where they were through a little pump. And they had to sit on these bikes and ride the bike to water their fields. But they paid them a little bit of money to go with that. And so, therefore, they thought that this was a good idea. And they sold their carbon to some other person, and they got a few dollars out of it for the poor rice farmer. But that business was able to operate at a higher level because they bought that person's thing. And you have to do this through an exchange. And, of course, the exchange is run by the progressives, who are pushing this stuff. That's why you had it. Oh, yes, I'm John Kerry, and John Kerry says that it is unequivocal, if I can say it with my partial loose here. way too much information, I know. Okay, but John Kerry says that it is not climate change is not only one of the worst things we have to deal with, it's like a WMD, and if it's a weapon of mass destruction, it's going to be one of the worst weapons of mass destruction, and we must do something about it now, because there's about $10 trillion a year to be made, and they're going to make it. Quit being stupid, people. Please look. Listen to the MIT scientists who said, uh-uh. MIT is who we go to for anything astronomical. If it's a new technology, if it's some whatever it is, MIT is at the and that's the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. They're at the bottom of it. They say there's no global warming or climate change. Now, if you're talking about pollution, hold on. If you're talking about pollution, we do need to do better things to stop polluting our water and our air. That's why in America we have scrubbers and we have clean coal technology and we have all the things that we spend money on that these other countries don't spend a dime on. And they tell you, Aikido Accord, climate change, global warming, go pound salt. Okay.
See, I just want to say real quick, see, if I believed everything you say, I guess I believe the 911 conspiracy theorists who believe George Bush went to Iraq just for oil and all that.
Why would you believe that when there's no proof of that?
No,
but
no,
you got proof of this.
Look, dog.
Okay, no, this is not a conspiracy theory. This is what they're doing. Look up the CCX.
Okay.
Okay, Jeff, I just want to say something to Matt.
See, look, yeah. Matt is wearing this little conservative right thing. See, he's mad at MIT because I think that there's a leftist type of college. Because remember curriculums, and people think that...
MIT.
MIT agrees with me, sir.
MIT.
And me too.
Huh?
Well, no, MIT agrees with our side of this.
I was reading something in the chat room.
When Jeff mentioned MIT, he said that MIT came out and said and called out man-made global warming as a hoax. And I said MIT is always taken seriously by the left until they disagree with the left, then they're ignored. That's what I stated in the chat room.
That's true, too. That's true. Okay, I got to get some other callers up. Dee?
Yeah, Jeff, I just wanted to add one thing.
Then Diva.
You know, we're talking about evolution.
Mm-hmm.
My thinking about that is things mutate. You know, they have change in them. However, I don't believe in evolution because if evolution were correct,
mm-hmm.
then once something evolved, you'd see no evidence of it. It would have passed the point of its original design into whatever it evolved to. And we don't see that.
Well, the thing is you'd have to have instantaneous change from one form to another because you do not have any middle of the grounders. Okay, that's the thing that is so crazy. You don't have middle of the grounders.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You don't have any evidence of this change occurring.
No, not at all.
And you know, like say that, you know, the old saying that we evolved from apes. Then apes should be gone if we evolved from them. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And
right. Why are they still here?
But why do you use the word evidence, though, ma'am? You said they don't have no evidence, but the other side has no evidence neither.
Oh, sure we do.
but see, the other side, they have DNA. Like, you know, when you go and if someone have a paternity test, that's science. That's the same science that's describing DNA. We come from the same source and such as things of that nature. But when you're talking about evidence, the other side, the creation is...
Let's use another analogy. Let's say that your house cat is an evolutionary being. It evolved from a squirrel. Let's just say a squirrel. So we would not have any squirrels left if they evolved into cats. But we do still have squirrels. You see what I'm saying? People want you to buy into this, and you can look around you and see the faultiness in the logic.
If something
changes into something else over time, then the original thing should be gone because everything has evolved into the new order.
Absolutely.
And that's why this is, you know, you can't accept this because you still, you know, like with that whole thing of man evolving from apes, there shouldn't be any apes left if we all evolved from apes.
I have to go back to a gentleman that was he was in a debate about this, and he's one of the economists too on Fox Business, and before I bring that in, I'll do something else with that, but we'll look at that as well here because I want to. I do want to address that and say how absolutely, utterly ridiculous it is for somebody to even think to believe in evolution and totally discount that there's a God or a creator. At the very least, there's some other group of people or beings that created us because of how perfectly we're created, at the very least. So let's go, and that's going to be your new one. That's something that I believe the Vatican will come out with here in just about two to five years, is that they'll announce that we were created by extraterrestrials. But that's another thing. We'll leave that alone for today. Diva, you're in the air.
Hey, everybody. I just wanted to ask you a question, because you said earlier that Lake Glacier in Mill Creek Park was formed by a glacier and melted. I just want to know where you got your information from, because my information says that Lake Glacier was created by damming in 1906 and not a melted glacier. Now, Ohio has had retreating glaciers, and we've had a glacial lake. The largest we have is Lake Erie, but Lake Glacier is not one of them.
Well,
and then
the history,
I'd like to make another point, and then I'm done. You speak on China and I think it was Indonesia that you speak on about how they are making boatloads of money with their dirty coal and all that. You have
No, it's over in Europe, period. It's all of Europe. That's where Al Gore is getting all of his money.
Okay, and you have to, well, yeah, I make money off of dirty coal, too, if they allow me. You have to look at their air quality. China had to clean up their air quality by the time the Beijing Olympics happened.
Did they do it?
Yes, they did. It wasn't as clean as ours, but because they had a limited time to do it. We've been doing ours for how long now? They had a limited time. It was cleaner than what it was.
They started
to clean up their air for the Beijing Olympics.
Same thing as London. If they cleaned up their air, and I'm not saying that you're wrong, Diva, but I remember watching those Olympics, and they had many times through many days that whole stadium completely engulfed in smog.
Absolutely. I didn't say they cleaned it up 100%, but it was much cleaner than what it was.
That's
now,
scary.
Exactly. Very, very scary. So what makes you think that people who are looking at places like China, I remember when we went as a kid, our air wasn't as clean. It seemed like it was always dark in Ohio, in Youngstown for some reason. Not as dark as some places, but it just seemed like it was always dark and smoggy and dirty. So somebody
looking
at
what
that,
town you...
would we want to go back to that? And you're trying to convince us because of jobs that we should go back to something like that.
Nobody's telling you to go back to anything, and that's asinine for you to even say, and I keep telling you, nobody's saying that. We have air cleaners on our staff. We have technologies that we can use that are clean coal technologies. We're not like the rest of the world, and we don't do that. We don't pollute ourselves to death, and we have to start doing better. But you don't do it by destroying 40% of your electric grid because it's something you don't like, because you think it's causing the earth to warm. I don't think they think it's causing the earth to warm. I think they're looking at that possibility of trading carbon at $10 trillion a year through the CCX in Chicago. Go ahead.
And guess what happens? If they don't agree with you politically, you're going to pay even more.
That's what they're doing with the IRS.
And as far as MIT, I'm only seeing one professor. Do they only have one professor when it comes to meteorology and climate control? They only have one professor because I only see one professor who is disagreeing, which is Professor Lindsden. I can't really pronounce his name.
You don't have any idea what professor agrees with and doesn't agree with global warming, because it's within the interest of the progressives to not let you have that information. And
well, Professor
Lindsay
is the only one who is speaking out.
What about
one tenth of 1%?
What about Dr. Neil Tyson, Dr. Neil Tyson? You don't believe what he thinks?
He's a
scientist.
And what did he say?
I follow him. He said he believes in global warming. He says it's almost a fact that it happened. So I'm just saying, what I'm saying is, I've said before, it's theoretical science level. I know my natural sciences, it's theoretical, and I'm just saying all of the science, it's a science religion because all of them are battling over it, and there's really no conclusion. It's a theory right now. So it is what it is.
Well, no, yeah. They're not saying it's a theory, though. They're saying it's real, and don't you remember the president say, it's unequivocal. The science is in. Climate change, and they're pressing for this climate change.
It's not a fact. It's
then tell the president that, and tell Al Gore that.
Scientists know it's not a fact. If it was fact, it wouldn't be argued. You don't argue over facts. You don't debate over facts.
Well, that's what they're trying to do, is to stop the debate.
Well,
because they want you. Yes, it is. Look at what the president.
They don't know.
My friend, did you not listen to the State of the Union address?
I know the question. And I know. Yes, I do, and I know science, and I know the difference between the fact and the theory and theoretical science, and what we're talking now is theoretical because we're debating about it. It's not a fact.
Okay, if that's theoretical, then the president and John Kerry and Al Gore said that we're all crazy because the evidence is in, and it's there.
Right.
That's
it's not theoretical according to the people that are in power right now.
Right.
Now, it's funny because what you're saying, sir, is that you're calling it theoretical. The people on the left are calling it fact, and we're calling
it's
it...
not.
Hold on.
Okay.
You have to realize that when you say it's not fact, that the people that are in control of the country and the United Nations as a whole... is on the side that man-made global warming exists.
First of all, sir, don't listen. When you hear me talk, don't try to put me on the left or the right. I'm not that. And don't tell me what I don't understand.
I
understand that very well. So I understand that very well, what you're saying, right? But what I'm saying is politics is not a fact. Even the law is under interpretation, right? So even the laws is not a fact. So what I'm saying, we debate this
true.
All the time at the time. It is true. The law is about interpretation. They read the same law books and they have different dissenting and dissenting opinions. So it's an interpretation. It's not a fact. What I'm saying is, sir, they're debating this just like people. It's things are inconclusive, and I'm saying both sides are at war, and to me, it's a theory until we both find out.
Right. You're saying that all they're doing is debating. Well, I can show you plenty of companies and people out of work because of the debate that they're
this
having.
This debate. Absolutely.
Well,
okay, hold on. Local caller, you are in the air.
Good morning, Jeff. How are we doing?
Doing good, my friend.
Okay. Obama hates this country and all Americans and is making this country more vulnerable. He's getting rid of the good generals and replacing them what he wants to have. The UN is attacking all Christians at this moment in time.
All over the world.
Yes. And have you heard of Linda LaRouche?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, get his copy of what he says by calling, you can call 703-297-8400 or 800-278-3135, and he is telling you that Obama wants a thermonuclear war. We're going to take the first hit, just like Clinton said, we'll take the first hit. What kind of presidents do we have?
You have progressives. You have progressives that want to wipe out so much of the world. And yes, if we don't change some things here this fall, they will run amok with this country because they already told you they're going to go past the Constitution to do it. So this is what you're dealing with, and you're dealing with these people that have this mindset for one world government. And when they have one world government, they have to control people. That's why they want you to control your guns. That's why they attacked, even though it had not a doggone thing to do with either of these cases down in Florida, the Stand Your Ground law. That's why they do that. They say
things.
It is always a part of self-defense. They attack the Stand Your Ground law because they have to have some some wedge to wedge in there to take your weapon. You can be ignorant of it, sweetie, but it's okay. I am not. I watch them do this daily. They brought it up.
I'm not discounting what you're saying about progressives. I'm not going to discount that. But you have to look at, there are people giving them a reason or giving, making certain things happen to where they could push their agenda. Like the Stage of Ground, like the George Zimmer case, like the Michael Dunn case, they are allowing them to push that agenda by doing the things that they're doing. You can't just say that they're controlling people. There is a lot of things. Like when people discriminate and create laws that will hinder the homosexual lifestyle because they don't agree with it, then you give the progressives a crack into pushing their agenda forward. That's what I'm saying. They're not creating.
But once again, I'll say it like this, Diva. I hear you, but I don't agree with you because it's all a concerted effort. It's a whole symphony of progressivism happening all at once. And George Zimmerman did not use Stand Your Ground.
He did.
The gentleman, he did not. It was not put into the court case at all.
It was.
That's a
lie.
It's
always
not
a part
true.
Of it. They don't
that's
have to. Stand Your Ground was a part of those jury instructions. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It was a part of the instructions
to tell him that it did not apply.
It did apply. It does apply when the jury goes back and they're deliberating. Did this person have a duty to retreat?
George Zimmerman did not use Stand Your Ground.
George Zimmerman did not go through the immunity portion.
You know, that's another thing wrong with you young black folks. Y'all just as hard-headed, man. That's why y'all always getting shot at.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Someone who the hard-headed generation of black I ever seen in my life.
You hard-headed. Go out and get your butt kicked, then you want somebody to be marching and picketing.
The problem, Bianchi, is you're the problem of the world, that statement that you just said. You're the problem. What you got to do, the old against the young?
Man, ain't nobody. Listen, you need to take yourself someplace, too.
Bianchi. Let's not get into personal anything. Hold on 1 second, Bianchi, and I'm going to let you talk. I lost my 205. Call back if you can, when you can. Let me read this to you, Diva, because I don't like being said that I'm either stupid or that I'm lying about something.
I never called
Mill
you stupid.
Creek Park. I told you Lake Glacier in Mill Creek Park used to be a glacier. That's what I said. Correct? Yes. That's what I said. Okay, after sub-aerial exposure and removal of the Mesozoic and Tertiary rock strata, the Quaternary period, 1.6 million years ago to present, reshaped the northeast Ohio landscape into the terrain we find today. Around two-thirds of Ohio was covered by mile-thick ice during the Quaternary glacial periods, and the geomorphology of the northeast Ohio is heavily shaped by glacial processes. Research within Mill Creek Park suggests that the pre-glacial Mill Creek Park entered the park area from the south, passing the Hiawatha Flats and the amphitheater area before meandering a course over to the now occupied by the lower Lake Cohasset. From there, it is inferred to have occupied the area now affiliated with the Lily Pond and flowed into a broader meander across the lower end of the present-day Lake Glacier and onwards to the Mahoning River. It was formed by a glacier, Diva, and that's what I told you.
Jeff, where did you get your info from?
I'm reading the history of Mill Creek Park on my...
I'm not saying that you are lying. I asked you to get your info, but I was reading what's
different. I'm getting the history of Mill Creek Park right here on the thing that the park put out itself.
If I could say something, Jeff,
I don't care nothing about where you got yours from. I'm going from the people that said it, which I knew long time ago, because I used to walk the Lake Glacier because I lived two blocks from it. I lived two blocks from it. 330-205, you're in there.
Yeah, I want to go back to the global warming thing with some really simple facts for our friend in Baltimore. One, Europe is bailing on this like unbelievable. Germany just commissioned 6 new coal-fired power plants. That's right. The first thing. Two, the largest cause of so-called greenhouse gases is naturally occurring methane from naturally occurring decomposition. Man has nothing to do with it. And three, with current technology, you cannot replace conventional energy more cleanly than the way we produce and use conventional energy, because with the example of wind turbines, it takes 75 acres to produce a kilowatt of electricity with a wind turbine. And 75% of the land that we are putting wind turbines on is crop ground. And right. A wind turbine will never produce enough electricity to make more power than what it took to build it. So what we're doing is we're taking food-producing land out of production permanently. We're placing something on it that will break before it ever makes enough energy to recreate itself. And it is actually having a bigger carbon footprint because they're not taking into account the amount of carbon that those plants that were used on that crop ground were synthesizing.
And it's killing birds by the hundreds.
Wind and solar are both filthier than conventional forms of energy.
And let me add this to Sticks. That's 75 acres per one windmill. That's if the wind is blowing.
That's 75 acres per kilowatt. And that's the footprint of the windmill plus the access roads. Because every one of those windmills has to have an access road.
Well, you know, we have a facility here at J.S. Alvarez Construction Company, and they have a windmill up on portion of their property right up on the Interbelt, and it's not taking up that much room. And I don't know how much output it's putting, but that dude be going on at a good clip,
on any given day. Bianchi, that's two different things. I'm talking about these large wind farms. If you go out through Kansas and you go up into Minnesota that you see, those are what I'm talking about, the commercial large-scale deals. Yeah,
but it's anyway, though, ma'am, it's nothing but open country there anyway. But I understand. Look, for me,
Slick
I think
is not a ma'am, Mike.
I said ma'am.
Slick is not a ma'am. He's a male.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry.
We don't understand that around here. You mean you're sorry? Your error?
Look, it is what it is, and now I stand corrected. But let me continue on what I was saying. I understand what you meant. To me, I think we should be aggressive on both parts, because you can't say we're just going to abandon all green energy. That's smart science, too. And what I'm saying, the best scientists are disagreeing with each other. That's all I'm saying. We just need to be aggressive. And I just want to say this. Right now, we should be 100% as Americans energy dependent with the natural gas in Texas and whatever. That's all I'm saying.
You could be.
But there should be a balance.
Because you will always have a government, because you can't let mankind just do whatever they want, and I'm letting people
For the record, this is what the left always does, and this is why you make such a good carrier of their water.
Listen to me, bro.
You always say. You're always going to have government because you can't let people do whatever they want to do. We know that. We want government. We don't want intrusive government, one. We don't want overbearing government, two. And we don't want government to run our lives, three. They should make the atmosphere.
When you get into my bedroom, you do. When you get into my bedroom,
I don't want to get into your bedroom.
Mike, wait a minute. Mike, we ain't gonna run the show like you run yours.
Because I gotta finish this with
Jeff
him.
Jeff is talking.
I'm gonna finish this. You're not going to tell me that I'm in your bedroom, because I don't want to be in anybody's bedroom. But what I will tell you is this: you ain't gonna be in my house telling my child that a man screwing another man or a woman screwing another woman is right and natural, because it's not.
No one is saying that. Huh? Right, but when someone is there.
I got an announcement.
Tracy got an announcement.
I got an announcement.
Okay.
Hey, guys, how are you? This is important. I want you to know something.
Mm-hmm.
This is really, really important. I hope you guys understand this, how important this is.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Tracy Winbush.
Yes.
And I'm coming out.
Okay.
Goodness.
What are you coming out of?
The closet.
I'm coming out behind you.
Well, what's your closet?
I'm a heterosexual and I like men.
Oh.
Did the president call
you? How the heck did
I'm
I do this show
too,
all
Jeff.
These years with you?
I'm sorry.
I'm disgusted. Well, I have a confession to make.
I need to make that announcement because I need to come out. I don't get to have sex every night because I'm not married.
Well,
but I just thought I'd get that off my chest.
Well, see, Tracy.
What?
I have a confession to make.
What?
I'm a lesbian wrapped up in a man's body.
I knew something was wrong with you, Jeff. I didn't want to see it.
I'm a lesbian wrapped up in a man's body.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
I wanted to come out, too.
I wanted to get that off my chest because it's been bothering me for so many years because I haven't been able to come out fully and let you guys really know how important it is that I let you guys know
I'm waiting for the president to call and tell you congratulations. Him or Michelle.
Hey, Jeff.
Can I come out too, Tracy?
You coming out too, Priyanki? I think we all ought to come out.
Yeah,
I'm
like
anyway. Go ahead, Priyanki.
I'm a male, and I love dark complexion black women.
Hey, me too, Priyanki.
So you're a racist?
But I'm married.
No, I say it again. I'm a black male, and I love dark complexion black women. I like women, period.
That's it. You're racist.
But when it comes down to those I want to be intimate with, I like dark complexion black women.
Priyanki, you shouldn't be a racist like that.
Well, I'm sorry.
So let me get this straight, Priyanki. I'm a fair-skinned white man. You would have no feelings for me at all. Is that what I'm hearing?
Man, I love you, but I don't love you that way.
Gotcha. I got you.
Tracy, I just got the message from MSNBC.
But did you guys...
Tracy,
I just got the message from MSNBC. You're going to have your own show next week.
I'm going to be one of the only ones.
You know what? You guys are laughing, right? And, I'm heterosexual, and I'm laughing at you guys. But see... People have this fear, like if you be around certain people, people are going to change. But all of us are heterosexual, and we know that no one can make us become the other side. We know our sexual identity, right? So
yeah,
we're confident. If your child is born heterosexual, we can't be taught that, Tracy. No one can teach me that.
Mike, can I tell you something?
Okay,
let me tell you.
Jeff,
pull up. You got YouTube over there?
Yeah.
Pull up James, Rick James.
Rick James?
Yeah, he said he was a super freak. Let's understand this. Let's really get this straight. We already, as Americans and as human beings, have a hard time handling ourselves in heterosexual, in trying to keep it right. I mean, come on now. Pornography is a multi-billion-dollar business. You know, Hugh Hefner has made more money than most people can actually count by selling, TNA. We understand that. America has major issues with this. We need to be honest with that. So let's really as a young person, when you're trying to figure out what it is, and let's be real with each other about this, I don't need anyone telling my children on how to figure out what their sexual identity is and or as their curiosity floats, because no one tells them what TNA is until they get older.
That's right.
Well,
I didn't know what a BJ was.
Crazy.
Hold on, listen. I didn't know what a BJ was, nor did I understand what it was when I was a kid, nor did I even think about doing anything like that when I was a kid. But all of a sudden, something like 20 years ago, every kid in America, parents had to explain what a BJ was. Do we understand that?
Oh, no, 20 years ago, they had to explain that. that is sex as well.
That's what
because
I'm
the president was trying to say what is his.
Yeah, we got to understand that was sex as well. Heck, we didn't even know what it was at 10, 5, 10, 6. You know, come on now. And now you want me to pick an identity? We need to understand I need to raise my children in my own way, the way I choose to. And I should not have outside influences trying to tell my children they should have the right to choose which gender they want to be with when they're 5 and 6 years old.
That's okay, true. Listen, can I say something? I read a story about, and a guy said when he was 7 years old, his mother and parents both were preachers. He grew up from a family, two-parent home. He said that he knew he was gay when he got aroused off of his classmate in the second grade. Now, what I'm saying is, I don't know about you. I wasn't sexually active when I was little. But when I was little as a boy, I knew my sexual identity because I knew that girl was cute across from my class. And I'm just saying, when a child tells me when they were little, they experienced something, who is me in the adult and saying they're lying, Tracy? And I'm
saying
this thing
going on.
That kid should have went to the bathroom and took a piss. That kid should have went to the bathroom and took a piss.
I knew that cute girl in my
child. It is my child. God gave me governance over the child that he gave me. And my husband and I have the responsibility to raise that child as we see fit, not as you see fit to raise my kid.
Right.
And what's going on right now is you have outside influences trying to persuade my child not to call things normal that is abnormal and call things abnormal that is normal. And we need to come to the conclusion that my child is my responsibility and not a ward of the state.
330-717, you would have been next, but we'll get to you. Bianchi.
You know, you was talking about the Mill Creek, the Mill Valley there.
Yeah.
The same thing is also historical here, Jeff, how the glaciers moved down from the north. You know, we have a peculiar thing here in the St. Louis area, and it's like a dividing line down the highway, say 44. You don't know what it is, but anyway, north of there,
very familiar.
The land is very much fertile. Then south of there, the land is not fertile at all. And what happened when those glaciers came down, they pushed the fertile land up north, the northern part of Missouri. And you're exactly right. That's how the Delta, at the Mississippi Delta, got formed.
That's how the Mississippi River Basin was formed. And,
yes.
And see, the thing is, here it is. I get a lot of information, and I'm the kind of guy that when I go to another city, I look for a point of interest to check out. It's just like in my daughter's city, I went to the Indian mounds, not the burial mounds, but the mounds that they used to worship with that could tell the times of the year. And these things are still accurate, totally accurate to this day. And you wonder, you know, about things, and that's what makes me delve into these things. I don't go off the top of my head. You go to the Mill Creek Park Wikipedia, and then thing. Just look at Lake Glacier and Mill Creek Park, Diva. You'll see exactly what I pulled up. But
and you know, we got the Cahokia Mounds here too, Jeff. We got Cahokia Mounds, and not too far from my house at a recreation center that's called it's called Wool. There is also a mound that doesn't receive the same precedence that the Cahokia Mounds receive. But it's on a street that's called Cote Brillante. Actually, it's pronounced Cote Brillante, which means brilliant hill when it's translated. Shining hill when it's translated.
Yeah, because here once again, if you know where the Indians say they're from, then you know exactly, you know, what these things were and how they got that information. But the thing is we're getting back to the societal things here. People are in power to persuade you to go with them. They think that they are right in what they're doing, even though 68 or 9% of the people do not agree with how the president is running the country.
Jeff,
he's still forcing the issue.
Jeff,
yeah.
68% of what? People don't know how to get to their own bathroom in their own house.
This is true.
because they don't think before they go.
What does that mean, though?
That means we have created a society of people who are zombies.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking dead.
I hear you.
And the president is the leader, 47%.
But they love. But you don't have to worry about it.
So have you heard the story of the Pied Piper?
Absolutely.
What happened to the they went into the Bay of Pigs, didn't they?
They went into the bay, not the Bay of Pigs.
That's what I said. They went into the Bay of Pigs, right?
Okay. Yes. Okay.
I think you're missing it, Jeff.
No, I think you're missing it because I'm going to tell you this: we've hit a new low in this country.
No, we haven't.
You know what's wrong?
What's wrong?
America is suffering a clown shortage as membership in trade organizations dwindles.
Say the number 3479.
They didn't dwindle. They sitting up in D.C.
Them ain't clowns. Them is hippies.
Them is clowns.
Them ain't hippies. Hey, wait. I'm sorry.
Clowns.
Hey, Jeff, can I make an announcement?
What do you want to announce now?
St. Anne's
mm-hmm.
Church.
Yeah.
Over on South 323 South.
Here locally in Youngstown, Ohio area.
No, in Sebring.
Oh, in Sebring, Ohio.
Sebring, Ohio.
I'm sorry.
They're holding their annual Lenten pierogi and halushki sale.
Mm.
And it's going to take place March 7th. Mark the calendars.
Okay.
Pierogi's on sale in Sebring.
Pierogi.
I wanted to make that before you went to break.
Pierogi. We're not going to break yet.
Why aren't you going to break? I've been trying to get you to go to break for half an hour.
Well, we see that's the whole thing. We can't do it now.
I'm going to try to get you to break for half an hour, and you wouldn't go.
Nothing happening.
Hey, listen, Alan West is going to be with us tomorrow afternoon.
Uh-huh.
11 o'clock. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Alan West.
Our congressman from Florida is going to be with us tomorrow.
Colonel.
Afternoon.
Oh, this is going to be good. Make sure you have South Carolina.
Yeah, he's going to tell you guys.
Questions?
It depends on if you guys can all talk, all not at the same time, and be respectful in the questions that you ask.
Yes, I'm a fellow veteran, so he should take questions from me. I just want to ask him.
Former veterans, and I thank you for serving, has nothing to do with taking questions and being civil because y'all come up with
no,
crazy stuff.
I'm going to be civil, Tracy, but I'm not going to cut no cards. I'm going to be civil. I'm not. Come on.
I want to know what question. What do you want to know?
See, now you're trying to pre-screen it quick, Tracy.
Absolutely.
Come on now.
I'm smarter than the legislator with the people that got on my show.
No.
hey, wait a minute. I got to talk to Diva. It says PDF, Stratigraphic and Geomorphologic Field Guide to Mill Creek Park.
Why are you trying to explain?
Okay, what is it again?
Because
no,
I don't know where she gets the damning it.
I'm going to ask him about his communist comment, and I want to ask him the meaning of that.
What comment?
The communist comment that he made, at the at his constituents meeting about the Democrats. He said a certain percentage of people in Congress are communists. He's from, and I was like, is this McCarthyism all over again?
Okay.
And he put a lot of.
Hey, I got a question, Mike. Do you have a computer close by?
Yes.
You should look up the progressives. I think it's called the Progressive Organization in the United States, and see the list.
Right.
If you look that
list
up, I'm serious. I kid you not, and I was very, very shocked to see the names on that list. If you look up that website and see the congresspeople who are a part of that list, it will blow your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I have friends who are progressives that are local, and they don't like the word communist, but their views are very, very socialist, and they believe that socialism is the way for America to go.
The world.
Well, I would like for him to define that word communist for me, so because that's been floating around, it's caused a lot of chaos, confusion. How some people say, oh yeah, he's a communist, but they really don't call you that. What is the definition of it?
Communism is a lack of responsibility when you turn yourself over to the governance of a state, which means you're no longer free. You're governed by a body that's greater than you. And progressive progressive
definition of a government.
No. A government is supposed to be self-governing by its representatives in America's democracy.
The law is greater than me. I'm not above the law.
But I'm not above the government. Listen, no, you are above the government when you speak in one
voice.
That's why I went on a tangent yesterday.
Well, we're all a part of the government. I agree with that, but I can't rule the government by myself. I need other people to do it with me.
But you
government
can.
Is more than one people.
But
I know that.
Can.
I mean,
the problem
no.
is you have people in government that believe you, as a citizen, shouldn't have the right to have self-governance.
I think I should have saved this question for tomorrow. I don't know.
Let me help you. I know
where I'm going now. I know where y'all are going, but I just wanted to, you know, that's why I was going to ask them, but we can go into it, though.
Communism is like you is like this idea that everything is in common with one another. We heard one person from the government say the other day, all of the kids in the system are our kids. I beg to differ with you. My child is my child. It does not belong to you by any means, and you don't have any right to run or do anything with my child. You just don't have it.
I have a question, your ideals of communism and socialism and all that, because you still don't believe that your health care plan that you create in your head is not socialism. You
no, it's
changed.
Not socialism. You know why it's not?
Socialism to me, communism to me, you seem to change them to fit your viewpoint.
Listen, let me tell you this. They take my money and do all kind of crazy stuff with it. If they're going to take my money, then I say, if that's the case, then let's have a system of health care that we all pay for if that's what we want to do. And make sure everyone takes part in it. Okay?
No.
But the thing
but
is,
you
is we take
said
care
us
of
the healthcare system.
Wait?
It was equal
you,
for
you just,
every case.
Yeah, she cannot. She can't help herself. You're not being heard, you know, because I'm talking over you and I have a bigger mic. And so, therefore, once again, I'm saying this. They're taking my money. And they're spending my money on craziness. The president pissed away down the grain $8 trillion. No, not $800 billion. Excuse me.
He said you got 1.5 million jobs out of it
every year. He said.
Right.
He's a liar because
you
ain't had 1.5 million.
You did have 1.5 million jobs.
Not created by that stimulus.
And as I heard earlier today, Bernanke did more for the stimulus than the president. But let me say this in conjunction with what Jeff is saying. You know, doing the right thing does not make for a communist state, but overreaching government does. And right now, our government is way overreaching, and we are getting the end of it. And I don't
see. We just need to find out what overreaching is, because when I hear y'all conservatives, y'all have y'all overreaching ideas too. That is crazy. And y'all
well, no.
And this guy
hold on, sweetie. Hold on. Just because it comes out of another Republican's mouth, don't put it in mine.
Right.
Well, I never said anything, Tracy. And see, Tracy, that's why I don't want. And I agree with you, but see, so I'm not going to label you then. And I would never do that again because I don't like labeling people. Because when you label yourself, sometimes that'll put you in a box and you can't call people out on when they need to be called out. So I don't want to label. I'm not going to label you then.
Don't label.
Well, she labels herself, though. She
I am a conservative, and I am a Republican.
Well,
but just because, hold on, just because Jeff said it, don't put it in my mouth.
Don't put it in my mouth because
I didn't say what Jeff said. But what I am saying I believe in doing the right thing, and there's nothing wrong with doing the right thing. And giving people access to affordable health care is a good thing, and I will always say that. But listen to the words that I said. Giving people access to affordable health care, but mandating that people come inside and swim in my pool is another thing, especially when I've done nothing but sell you down the river, and all it's going to do is cause you less health care and a lot of grief. And that's what the Affordable Health Care Act did.
So how are we listening to you guys supposed to know what is right
for
you guys?
Hold on,
Mike.
What did you say, Diva?
I said, how are we supposed to listen to you guys when you can't even agree Because your leadership says one thing, you, Tracy, says one thing. That says another thing.
I'm not led by nobody but God.
But the thing is, you're asking us to listen to the words
that
you're saying.
Don't tell me that somebody else is my leadership. If you want to know the truth, I lead them.
And guess what? Nobody's telling you to vote Republican after me or become one.
I didn't say that.
We come to tell you to wake up and quit being stupid. Because that's what we're being in many instances.
When you guys are saying competing things.
Like what? Like what?
Okay,
Michigan
you,
man, call in. Don't be up there send the, you know, doing stuff from the side.
Diva, Mike, I mean, listen, you guys are not listening to what we're saying.
Mm-mm.
When you have a high, listen to what I'm saying. I said giving people access to affordable health care is a good thing. I think that we ought to set the infrastructure together in a way with tort reform and with opening up the borders where it can be competitive just like your car insurance.
And Jeff believes that we should have money in health savings account. Every man, woman, and child, they should take the money, put in health savings account, and everybody benefit from that, and you get your health care through that. That is social. That is a socialist program, and you cannot say it's not. That's socialism. Jeff says it's not. Then you have the people on top. Hold on. You have the people on top, like McConnell, Boehner, Ryan, all the ones who have the power, who have more power than you guys, saying something completely different. They don't want to go what you're saying, Tracy. They don't want to go with what Jeff is saying. So how am I supposed to have my eyes open to the truth if the truth is three different things?
Diva, Tracy is in commercial right now.
Oh, okay. Well, man, maybe you can answer that because you're a conservative.
Well, I want to say something, man. You said that you think that she would like whoever. I mean, I think I'm asking him a very good question. I mean, because, you know, what is communism? That's a very good point. And, see, people use these terminologies about overreaching government, but they never really define what they mean.
Well, because the fact is, it seems to me that some people are realizing that here in America that it's best to do certain things, but they don't like certain labels. They don't like that communism label. They don't like that socialism that label. However, they come up with ideals that is exactly that. So now they're trying to change the definition.
And no, you're right. You know
what,
Diva? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bianchi.
You want me to tell you what communism is? It's two different things. You got that which is thrown in front of you, the public. Then you got the real communism, which is a group of men, in most cases, that's in competition with other groups, like the Federal Reserve, like the bankers, like those that control this, those that control that in the West. In communist country, you got a group that's wanting to vie for the very same thing. That's what comes. You know, Putin comes from a family of royalty. And what's that one billionaire that he locked up?
Hold on. So, I'm sorry. I thought communism was the government owning every single thing.
That's what
they
tell you.
There's no privately owned anything in a communist.
Well, in essence, that's what it is. But there is this competition that goes on amongst elite, so-called elite groups in the world. You have the same thing going on in the National Basketball Association or the National Football League or Major League Baseball. You have competition. But on a world geopolitical scene like we don't really know, you have groups that come from a communist background, a communist perspective, that's vying to control certain segments, if not major segments, of the world.
See, y'all confusing me. I mean, if I didn't know my own self, if I didn't know to look up things for myself and be confident in what I'm researching, I would be screwed.
Basically,
because
communism tries to go against capitalism. It's Karl Marx.
Yes,
they come from the Karl Marx.
It derives
from Karl Marx, right? So everything, the manifesto derives from Karl Marx.
You have some group that finance wars. Matter of fact, they finance both sides of the war because there's much to be gained on both sides. So, yes. Now, for you to understand, we got another definition for communism, which you have been piddling around with for the last 5 minutes.
What are you talking about? There should be only one definition. That's the problem now.
That's what I'm saying. People trying to bring in their own definition.
Exactly.
When society has already accepted what something is as a whole, but then you have people who have this ideal in their head, like, no, such and such would be a good idea, that would be a good idea, but I don't like that word. I don't like that socialist word. I don't like that communist word. So now I'm going to change the complete definition of those two words to benefit what I want them to mean so that
basically,
I can be okay with what I'm pushing.
Well, see, basically, communists and socialism, basically, they're one and the same, but basically, socialist means that basically the public has the ownership of production.
No, that's not true. Hey, Matt, what is Comcast trying to get across? I'm going to give you an example right here. Matt, I need Matt to help me. You know, what's the thing that Comcast is trying to get across? You still there, Matt? Matt's gone. There's something that has to do with the internet, and I can't think of it off the top of my mind, that companies like Comcast is wanting to do. Oh, with Netflix. Comcast, I believe, and I'm not sure, wants to control the means by which you can go about receiving movies. In other words, they want to control that avenue. And the man that owned Comcast is very, 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 very rich. He's part of the Western capitalist. Now, that's fine and dandy if you're talking about the United States. But if you want to start projecting movies over into the other end of the world that's controlled by other groups, and many of them come from a communist perspective, then that's where the problems resolve. Matter of fact, that's how wars start. So you got that group that say, no, we don't, I mean, you're just not going to have access to our TVs in our countries like that without coming through us. That's a communist that you don't hear about. You hear about the social entities, the ones they throw in front of you all the time. What is it called,
so
common carrier?
Basically you're saying, right, again, you just described what I just said. You're saying the government is controlling the means of production. I mean, when you use the TV thing, they're controlling the means of
production. No, they control the government.
And that's what...
Oh, so you're saying that because they control the government, and the government is... So you're
right,
saying
they control the government.
They control the government, and the government controls everything, so it's a form of...
They control
communism.
The government because they can put a government person out of work. I mean, just think, would you like to work, have free medical and chances to become rich through networking and setting your family up for generations to come and have a pension that pays you $15,000 a month for hardly not working for like one or two terms, and all of a sudden you qualify for that type of pension? So, I mean, that's how it works. These companies have the ability to finance your campaign. People don't finance the campaigns
of candidates.
This is
the problem that I see. This is the problem I see. Instead of us getting mad at them, both Republican, Democrat, whoever, mad at them, we get mad at each other, bicker with each other, while they sit back, slap each other on the back, act like they're mad at each other, but then they get in the back room and they come up with laws that create those such pensions and medical. I mean, it makes no sense that your first term, you could only do 2 years, and after 2 years, you're set for life. And you don't
you're right.
To
that's because the public,
no sense.
Public,
and we're the ones
public
paying
is
all the
dumb.
Taxes.
The public is down. Another thing, some of these corporate heads have the ability to lay off 100,000 people. Suppose you're running for a president and all of a sudden the same demographics that you are trying to target as far as voting for you, then one corporate head said, well, we're going to lay off that 100,000 people. Now where are you at?
I think when the American people get fed up, and it's when the Republicans and Democrats unite and get fed up, we'll stay. As long as we bicker with each other about red and blue, nothing's going to change.
Ow.
Just so that you guys know, This song was written in the
70s. Yeah.
And if America is like that in the 70s, what do you think America will be like?
The song was about me.
It might have been about you.
It was about
but,
me.
But you got
to
understand, you don't need to promote this with your children at a young age.
So vain. I bet you think this song is about you.
No, Jeff.
That's not
no,
it.
No. This, it's Rick James. And he wasn't talking about Mary Jane.
No, Mary Jane was another one.
That's what I'm saying. Mary Jane was another one. So just, I mean, you got to understand, America. We have issues in America. We need to understand that. And the issues that we have, we should not be promoting with our children. I mean, there should be a line in the sand if you don't promote sexually promiscuous.
Do you know what I went through, Tracy? Being a lesbian wrapped in a man's body as a child. Did you know that?
No, I don't know. I have no idea.
Never knowing which bathroom to use.
But listen, I just want you to know. I just I'll let you know, and maybe we'll bring it up before the, you know, sometime we'll get it in. But think about this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what happens when young people have to share locker rooms and bathrooms with people who that they are attracted with?
Yeah.
We have a hard enough time. You know, with the under the bleachers when we were kids. What do you think is going to happen when you're in the same potty room?
Wait a minute. I went to junior high with a girl who was.
I'm going
to
leave that alone. We'll talk about that when coronavirus comes.
Okay. Yeah, I just want you to think about that. Just think about it. Do you know what happens when you share the same potty room?
Yes, I do know what you
mean. I don't know about y'all.
Maybe I was just a wild child, but. Y'all need to wake up and smell the coffee because we have issues in America. This is America. Remember Rick James? Not Rick James. What's his name? James Brown.
James Brown.
America.
In America.
This is America. This is America. We don't even know how to have small closets. Our closets are as big as people's whole houses now. Please, we need to really be honest with ourselves and tell the truth because. The last thing we need is to unleash the giants.
Well,
it's the truth.
You got them. You got them. But anyway,
Tracy,
we're going to bring our callers back up.
Don't bring them up. Because Diva's steady talking.
I'm just
she's
saying.
Still talking. Steady talking. Straight through. Everybody's talking about everything. And she's steady talking over everybody. I don't understand it. For love, no money.
She must really want to get it out.
She can't get it out.
Diva.
You guys never went to school with someone who was gay and had to, you know, gym class and you know, change. You guys never had that experience?
Yes, we did. No.
Diva, listen. He may have been gay or she may have been gay, but have you heard about what's going on in the softball locker rooms of some schools now with a bunch of young ladies who are gay?
But y'all act like these gay girls are raping the other girls.
Diva, it's not about raping them. It's about the promiscuity of what's going on with them. You got to understand. There's a reason why you don't have co-ed locker rooms. Do you understand that?
That never stopped some of the kids in my high school.
Diva, can you imagine going into the locker room and you being a cheerleader and or being a sports player
and
you're in the room with your boyfriend
girls.
Or your girlfriend?
Okay, that would have to be two gay girls or two gay guys liking each other, getting on. So what you're saying, are we supposed to have separate facilities for gay people?
Do you understand where I'm coming from? Do you realize that there is a reason why you don't have co-ed locker rooms? If that's the case, we can just have a freak-for-all.
But you know what, Tayshia and Jeff, years ago, in public schools, toilets weren't arranged in stalls. I mean, the commode. Matter of fact, they showed some kind of commercial like that No, there was no dividers. It was because I've went in schools before to do work and bid on work. We go in the bathroom. It was one old school, and those toilets would line up, and there was no divider. You just went in, sat down, did what you had to do, wipe, got up, washed your hands, and went on. Yeah.
Pionki, can we say a man's urinal in the men's locker room? Come on now. Y'all got...
Well,
a
man's urinal is one thing.
No. Listen to what I'm saying. Urinals do not have... At least in the women's... Today, when you go into a ladies' restroom, we all have individual stalls. We had a little lock on it, put a little purse up, all that kind of stuff. You guys got a little row of stuff going where y'all just have whizzes.
Well, there's dividers.
There's dividers
between... There's dividers
in schools. In some urinals.
In the old urinals, they didn't have no dividers.
They didn't have no dividers. There wasn't no dividers.
Matter of fact,
everybody
you go in an airport, they don't have no dividers.
I'm talking about the toilet,
the commode. The commodes would just line up in a row, and you just sat down on one. There was no, I mean, you just right out in the open.
That, That's something down there with you, man, because we had dividers up here with the toilets. We just didn't have no doors.
I'm talking about probably before. I'm talking about going back like in the 40s.
Well, see, I don't know.
You know, Jeff didn't have a sight. He didn't have glasses then.
I sure didn't.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600 iHeartRadio.
Tell somebody to tell somebody.
Tell somebody to tell somebody. Tomorrow, Congressman Alan West is going to be with us on tomorrow morning. And I'm looking forward to having with him. And on Thursday, we got Michael Rubin. He's going to be with me on Thursday. Looking forward to having a conversation with him. We're going to bring some national guests in, and we're going to open up the phone lines and let you guys talk to some of these people. But I do ask, I probably will ask you to email me at tracy@tracyandfriends.com. Tracy does have an E in it. And if you want me to open up your phone line, you're going to need to give me your phone number and the question that you want to ask, because some of them will take phone calls and some of them will not.
Wow.
It is what it is. I promise you, when you see your... No, it ain't that they're scared. Your president don't take questions from the floor without
Thank
having
you.
A screen. Don't
Thank
trip.
Thank you.
He's scared, too.
And listen,
no, he's not
it's not about scared. It's because you have to realize people...
If you can't just leave a question without first looking it over and approving it, then you're afraid of a certain question to be asked. You don't want to be looked like an ass. You don't look like a jackass.
No, Diva.
When you're dealing with a national figure like this, what you're doing is making sure that you get your message out. And so, therefore, you're not going to waste time on something that's going to detract you from what you want to do or say.
And do you understand, do you really understand the kind of questions people can ask?
The only person you have to really worry about is me, Stanley, and Baltimore.
That's not true, because I'm getting ready to promote this today, and you don't know who's going to call in.
Okay.
That's why.
See, people can ask some real dumb questions.
And y'all can ask some real dumb questions, too.
And guess what? In some talk shows, they screen the calls because they don't want to let it go a certain way.
Most talk shows are like that. Do not screen our calls.
Right. And we take calls on the air. That's how we get slammed every now and then.
That is true.
But also, it's a good thing. And Beyond the Beltway, I call from time to time in Chicago. And they will, if you don't have your question together and ready to go, you will not get on that show.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a question. I got to leave early, so you're on your own.
Leave early.
I got here late. I'm leaving early. I know, but I got to go because I got things to do.
What I'm supposed to do with that?
I can't answer that.
That's good English, you all. What I'm supposed to do with that?
I have a question for you, Jeff.
Yes. What's the question?
If you were the general salesman or the general manager of a football franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to draft the first openly gay football player?
No.
Why not?
Too many problems, and I want a winning season.
He's one of the greatest there is.
He's not, because he's a
that's
player.
Not, that's on,
he's
I
a
said,
third,
I, fourth,
this
is hypothetically. This is hypothetically.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
He's one of the greatest. There's one of the greatest there is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I, like I say, I don't want him because I need to have my team play together.
Let me ask Bianchi, what about you?
My team is
you
shaky.
Let me ask you this.
I'm about the dollars.
It's all about the dollars. Do you see any?
No,
do you foresee any?
I ain't going to risk my money. You might want to risk.
Me as a general manager is for me to get my team in shape, and if you don't want to play how I tell you to play, then you could kick rocks. That's
well, see, that
ain't
the risk.
It's about morale.
As a general manager, I don't want to lose my job because I got a family to feed. Hell no.
No.
He's an All-American. He deserves it, okay? And I've always said...
I didn't ask you about his deserving. I asked you, do you want him on your team? Because remember, every time you bring someone into your ball field and into your program, the dynamics change. You got to realize Magic Johnson went into a basketball court and fired the coach.
Listen,
you got to realize.
It's amazing.
We had
the same argument about Jackie Robinson in baseball, and we're having
the
same argument.
Wait a minute. Jackie Robinson was not one to screw his fellow members. Okay.
It doesn't matter. They looked at his grandmother and touched him and said,
"He doesn't need to touch
him on a
Wow.
I got a question. Mike, did you play football?
Yes, I did. I played sports. But can I make my point?
Okay, no, 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 no. Mike,
I want
to ask you some questions. I want to ask you some questions. Did you play football?
No, I didn't play football, but I've been in a locker room situation.
No, 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 no. Did you play? Did you play football or basketball?
No, no. I played basketball and lacrosse.
Okay, let me say this.
In high school.
And hold on. I need to, Eric, did you play football?
Yes, I did.
The testosterone that goes on in that locker room, they tell me, is really off the chain. They tell me you guys are really psycho. Some of the conversations, I mean, even some of the conversations and just the wildness of the locker room would pale to fashion if they really actually had a video camera and taped what really goes on in there. Am I getting this wrong?
Oh, no, you're not getting it wrong. That's why.
So
no,
tell me
he
this.
Wouldn't laugh in,
so
I don't think he would laugh in the NFL, to be honest with you.
So tell me this. If a young man named Martin who had a problem with incognito, had a problem with hazing and being picked on and you know, bullying in the locker room, how is the first openly gay player going to change the dynamics of the locker room? Because you can't give him his own locker room. That's discrimination, if I'm not mistaken. And it would change
well,
the personality
realize,
also of the team.
You're assuming
well, you
that
realize he told
his personality, like
no, 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 no. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. When you come out openly gay like that, when you bring anything into your program like that, it's going to change the dynamic of your program. And there are some, men, y'all crazy. Y'all do some crazy stuff.
Just
yeah.
look at the problems that arise when you have female interviewers going into the clubhouse.
And actually, if you look at the female interviewers going into the locker room, they wait until they're dressed. You don't go in there with them all, with everybody hanging.
Well, there were a couple of cases where it did happen like that, Gracie.
But you know,
early
no, no, no,
on, but they don't do it no
early
more.
Early on, but they had to stop that because there was too much going on. And I want to ask Eric because Eric played ball. Eric, how in the world is that going to change the dynamic? Because again, how do you are in an open locker room? These things are not stalled.
It's going to be Jonathan Martin 10 times worse. He's not going to make it.
I mean, y'all acting like he's going to be looking at you and thinking, I want to do something with you. Like he's just
no, can I make my point?
You.
I haven't made my
no.
point. I just
you
want
know
to
something
Mike,
else.
Mike, wait, before you make your point, the reason why I'm asking this is because it's not that he might not be hitting on anybody in the locker room, but every time he looks at somebody, they're going to assume that they're looking at him.
And it will destroy the morale of the team.
And Diva mentioned something about Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson was not the best at his position coming out of the Negro League. Jackie Robinson brought with him a certain philosophical thinking of what's the word for it, Jeff?
Let me tell you what happened. Jackie Robinson had the finesse that he would not go upside their head because my dad played in the Negro League and in the majors, and he did not have the finesse and or the aptitude to be able to handle what Jackie Robinson went through, and they had the right to find the right black man to go into that situation.
And we're not going to be able to break because we've got to go to break right now, afternoon with Tracy and friends. We're going to pay some afternoon. Listen, you don't know what time it is, Tracy. It's morning. It's morning with Tracy and friends. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Be right back.
Oh, I want to make 2 points. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. She's going to get me on the air. I got to make 2 points on what I have to say.
My
so,
point
no,
was,
Jackie, what you're talking about with this player is nothing had nothing to do with a similarity to Jackie Robinson.
My point is that any time someone is making a breakthrough where people are going to not like it, they have the same type of conversation. Oh, it's going to cause problems. It's going to this. They had the same thing about women joining the military. They had the same thing about open homosexuality in the military. It's going to cause this. They had the same thing about interracial marriage. They had the same conversations. This is nothing but phobias. And you guys want to act like, oh, I'm not a homophobe. Yes, you
it's,
are.
It's not, a, it's not about a – how do you figure it's a phobia?
It is a phobia.
What do you get out of saying that you are gay, that I like men?
Hold on. Here's the thing. You know why these people – I couldn't understand why they were coming out and why it was a big deal, but now I know why. Because the conversation's
why?
Like this. You guys prefer them to stay in the closet. Why should – if I like a woman or a male, why should I have to hide that?
Now you know what
we have conversations where it's, oh my gosh, did you see such and such? Did you see such and such? I didn't know that. I didn't.
Well, no. You know what kind of conversation they're going to have now, Diva? Diva, if you were to tell me, Mike, if you were to tell me you homosexual, I say I respect it, but I don't want to. I just don't want to be around you.
Okay,
that's a phobia. You're a homophobic.
Right, right. See, Pionka, I understand what you're saying, right? But I totally disagree with that because you don't know who's giving you your groceries, what they do. As long as they can do that task. And you're working, communicating with each other. I'd rather let somebody let me know that they're gay than them trying to hit on me. And see, that's why the Pope said, listen, if y'all priests want to be gay, come on out so y'all can stop touching them boys. If they're going to come out, come out. But what? Right, but there's,
well,
but there's a little sticky situation about
I don't
a lot
want
of
some,
them,
I don't want certain women trying to hit on me,
position.
Michael, I don't want certain women trying to hit on me.
But exactly. You assume just because they're gay, they're going to hit on you, and that's not true. I know plenty of gay women, and I don't – I mean, they may have an interest, but they don't open their mouth because they know I don't swing that way.
You gay. Listen, I'm going to be this. The only way, like Tracy said, I think I heard she say this, the only way that someone is a homosexual is they get aroused off of the same sex. And I'm going to say this. I can see 1,000 naked me, and I'm not going to get aroused because I know my nature. That's not me. That's
so
a fact.
You in a shower. So if you in a shower full of men and only one or two men got point to the moon hard on, now what did that tell you about them?
That makes you think they're
gonna
have a point to moon hard on.
That's why. Hold up, and that makes my point. In that situation, don't ask, don't tell is a good policy. Now I'm just saying, in that locker room, what I would do, I would draft them. I would say, listen, team. Listen, I'll be straight up. If y'all don't want to take showers, don't take showers. If you take a shower, if you take your shirt off, this situation, I don't want to hear no room. And another
well, what you
thing
think goes on in prison, bro?
Assume and one
that
more,
gay men are attracted to heterosexual men.
Hold on,
what happens to a male
hold
in prison
hold on,
and come out openly say
Diva.
He's gay?
That's
just like,
Diva.
Y'all think,
Diva.
Y'all act
Diva.
Like homosexuals
Diva.
Are attracted
Diva.
To heterosexuals
Diva.
Just because
Diva.
They
Diva.
Have
you
the
contradict
they are attracted to.
Diva, you're contradicting yourself. Hold up, Diva. Hold up, Diva. You're contradicting yourself. When they said they're born a certain way, they say they get aroused off of a man like I get aroused off of a woman. Like me going into an open shower with a woman's locker room, and they got towels around their bottoms and nothing but the top.
Baltimore.
Me, the male,
Baltimore.
I'm
do you get attracted to every single female you see? Do you get aroused by every single female you come across?
No,
just
I don't.
Because
but
she's
if
a female.
I'm in the wrong of, but if I'm in a vulnerable position,
no,
we're talking
no,
about a
answer
the
question.
We're
do you get aroused
of
every female
no.
that you see?
No, but we're talking about a locker
amen.
Room, a vulnerable position, a vulnerable
no.
position.
You know what they
we're
need to have? They need to have facilities for gays. They need to have separate facilities for gays. If they want to be gay,
not.
Then you got to
separate. No, they do
facility.
Not. You guys are assuming that just because this guy is gay that he is going to be aroused by a bunch of naked men.
That's a happy song. I told you. Happy song.
No offense to you. Don't waste your time. Here's why.
Because I've come along. Don't you feel like a room without a roof? Because I'm happy.
Come along. If you feel that happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy. If you know that happiness is to you.
Uh-huh. That
sounds
like one of them songs you sing when you're driving down the highway about ready to run out of gas.
Bring me down.
Bring me down.
Bring it down. All right, coming
down
330-781-9600. Here on Mornings with Tracy and Friends.
What?
And we're here talking to you.
What?
Okay, let me hear something.
What?
It's silent in there. I couldn't believe it. That's why.
I'm
that's
happy.
Why I do that. You know that. That's what you need to do.
What?
Because see, you be bringing up the pot.
Oh man.
And they don't know that
nah,
we're gonna come back already.
Just,
see, I give
yeah.
them a little warning.
I don't give them no warning.
I give them warning because I don't want to hear certain things.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. And I'm with Jeff, and I'm gonna leave Jeff because Jeff said I could leave.
You always leave Jeff alone.
Home alone.
Out in the cold.
Sorry.
Uh-huh. Yeah. See, some other talk show host is going to come along and spend time with me. You know where I'm going. I'm going back to, you know, where I told you before.
Well, you know, I heard from Mary Jane.
What about Mary Jane?
Mary Jane said it's always good being number two, because when you're number one, you don't always get to keep your spot.
Well, my point is this.
I just want to know how y'all going to deal with the gay man in the locker room with the men.
Listen, you can't have this.
That's
it's
all
not
I want to
time
know.
Yet for that.
Oh, okay.
No, here in a couple years after they desensitize you, you know, it'll be okay. It's just like what they did to the military.
It's going
to
be okay now.
You know, the don't ask, don't tell.
It's going to be okay now. I just don't know how they're going to do it. And somebody's got to pick him up. They're trying to figure. They're frightened right now. They're pulling straws, trying to find out who's going to pick him up.
Nobody's going to pick him up.
They're going to pick him up, Jeff. They got to pick him up.
They do not.
They do have to pick him up.
They fan it on TV, they're saying that. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, they're not going to pick him up.
They got to pick him up.
Let me put it like
he's
this.
He's an All-American. What division in college he played for, guys? He's an All-American. What are you talking about?
He's a third-round draft pick.
They got to pick him up.
Okay, exactly.
Can I tell you guys something?
In the NFA draft. Third round is pretty good.
Listen, let me tell you something. I told you guys this the other day. See, you know, Rosa Parks was a plant, and so was my boy here. See, they planned stuff.
They planned this one.
They planned it. Somebody's got to pick him up because they don't want eyes on the NFL. The commissioner right now, he is out there. He's jockeying. They playing politics, y'all, for real. This was played. See, courts, you know, court cases just don't make it to the Supreme Court.
I believe that.
Supreme Court. They choose which cases go, and they choose which cases they're going to actually navigate through the process. This is a plan. And let me
I believe
tell y'all
that.
This. Y'all being played.
I believe that this was a setup. It's just all weird that he comes out right before the draft. That's just
I'm telling y'all.
That's a little too coincidental for me.
That's what I'm saying.
And I think
Diva,
it's moving
and,
towards
and you,
the Supreme Court. This is the setup.
Listen, and you guys don't. Y'all, it's coming to a school near you. All this is getting ready to play in your backyard, and they're gonna tap dance on your head.
But Tracy,
y'all
the
understand
thing
every
is,
for every action there's a reaction, and y'all ain't seen nothing yet.
I mean, if your child knows who they are, I've never been bothered being hit on by girls, gay women, being in locker rooms with gay women, and they knew it was possible to do attraction. It never bothered me because I knew I didn't swing that way.
Diva,
you do you, but
it just
didn't bother me.
Your daughter comes home and decides that she's going to swing both ways.
My daughter knows who she is. My daughter already likes boys, and we already know that.
No, you missed my point. I didn't say what she likes.
We can get that changed.
I said what she does, because right now we're going into a neutral society, so I can swing from whatever tree I want
to
swing
from. But not every kid is going
time.
To be that dumb. You're just assuming that every kid is going to be brainwashed into switching teams.
This is not about brainwashing.
Are the college kids going to be teaching the NFL men something? Because he told his college teammates before the season they kept it quiet and shut. Now, I believe he's doing this for publicity, because he's going to go around in history books. They're going to pick
You're
him
right.
up. And the only thing I'm saying, I agree with you guys. You haven't listened. The locker room is a vulnerable situation, and now I know why these ex-sports players have came out after they've been professional players, if you notice, because the locker room is a vulnerable position. Now, patting people on the butt, that may change in the NFL, but I think it's no ask, don't tell.
Hey, listen, and the problem is,
if you don't
want to
take a shower, don't take a shower.
But they already, you're missing my point.
They're trying to ruin football anyway. There's a war on. They're trying to ruin football anyway.
That is true. Because now they're trying to take almost turn it into flag football.
You're hitting too hard, you know. Now we want to get gays in there, just like, you know, it's like ruining the family. They want to ruin football the same way.
They're ruining men.
Listen, can I say this? There's gay people in the
NFL.
NFL already, and this is why this has got to come out. They're going to make sure that this guy goes somewhere
and that it is a positive place. So
they can't even trade him when he goes.
This is what I'm trying to say. They're trying to find, because the basketball player ain't playing nowhere unless he's playing in his backyard.
That was different.
Yeah, I don't care how different it is. He ain't playing, is he? Nobody picked him up. Now, here from Mr. Michael Sam, he's gonna get there because the NFL does not want to get sued.
But I will say this: I'm glad he wasn't a husky, buff, good looking guy. Because that'd have broke my
he's
heart.
He's a bad looking cat, right?
He's
here.
A good player, Jeff.
I don't care.
He has skills.
It was cute, listen. Tracy. He's somebody I would have dated. So it broke
he's
my heart.
He's a masculine
husky.
Diva.
He was not a husky, buff, good looking guy.
We are not going to judge by pictures I've seen.
Some men I know
that
are gay. Some men
I said he was cute. He's somebody I would have dated, and it broke my heart.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm talking to Jeff because he's trying to say something else.
I'm trying to tell you. There are some men that I know that are gay. They are husky, buff, good-looking, fine guys. And you look at them and you say, for real? They don't have a tweak in their voice. And they gay. That breaks my heart. You know, this right here, he just...
You know, seeing a handsome brother, seeing a handsome man turn out to be gay breaks my heart.
He's just another girl.
Well, the whole problem is that's what you have. It's a spirit, and because of that, let me leave that alone. Because people are not going to understand that.
The masculine ones,
Stanley
my heart.
Said, he was
feminine ones don't break my heart, but the masculine ones break my heart, because I'd be like, really?
But Diva,
you know,
listen to what I'm saying. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Diva, I've spent a life being very confused.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
He can play the gay card now, too, though, which means that, like Mike said, he's a third-round pick, so he can be an average player. He can play the gay card and say he's being discriminated against. So
you can't even trade him. You can't. The most you can do is bench him on the wine and let him ride the pine. And pray that he doesn't mess up your whole line.
That was a bad thing. Oh, God. Now, you know that was terrible. Let it ride the pine. Oh, my
well,
God.
You, if those of you who play football know what that means. That means you're a bitch. You're sitting on the sideline.
Obama applauds Missouri's Michael Sam.
Oh,
get
Jeff.
A real last name. You got
Jeff,
two first
Jeff,
names.
Jeff, do you have
for announcing
why do you
that he's gay.
Why do you have to bring President Obama into everything?
And you know what? You know what position they're going to hire him for?
Tight end.
Tight end.
You know what? Can I do stand-up comedy now?
Boom.
Because, you know, that's... Stand-up comedy, they don't get sued, do they?
Yes.
Oh.
They can.
Oh.
So you think you're going to try to be a stand-up comic?
Now? I want a stand-up comedy. Can I do stand-up comedy? Because, you know, we can... Because you can't get sued for harassment, can you?
Yes.
Oh.
Because you know what?
Not for being not politically correct?
Yes. You know what? Because, I'm not politically correct at all because I don't care. And Diva, you really offended me by likening him playing in the NFL like Jackie Robinson in the major leagues. Guess what?
It was
Jackie Robinson is black, and you can see he's black no matter what. But unless somebody starts screwing, a man starts screwing another man, you don't know that he's gay.
That's not true.
But the attitude of the people,
you don't know that.
Once
you
find out
you
this
not
one
all.
Is gay,
no, that's
it's
true.
The same, Jeff.
That's true. That's what I'm saying.
What did you say?
I said the attitude of the people once they find out someone is gay is the same. You guys
no,
have
not.
The same
position
about
Diva.
Gay
no,
man that
Diva
had about
Jackie Robinson. If he had gone in and just played the game and was good at what he did, if you go down the street and you want to swing with whomever you want to swing with them. But for you to get up and make a purposeful announcement to let me know how you're swinging, that's a problem for me.
And it doesn't mean I'm afraid of you either.
And played the game.
It don't mean I'm afraid of you either. Let's face it. I don't like
and
you.
I'm not a phobia.
Yeah,
and I'm not afraid of you being gay.
That's the other thing that ticks me totally off. No, I will whoop your behind. I'm not afraid of you being gay, okay? You be gay around me,
that's
fine. That's what you do. I ain't mad at you.
That's what you
but
do.
But you get up in my face, I'm going to whip your butt.
You don't have to, it's not about getting up in the face. It's
but
not,
I'm
it's
saying.
Just being, you do what you do, and that's your business. But for you to come on and become the first openly gay, why do you make an announcement? Why? What is this?
So
now that everybody in America has to make an announcement when they come out the closet, go tell your mama if that's what you want to do, because that's who you need to come out the closet to. But you don't need
yeah.
to come out the closet to America.
Right. I didn't ask you, so don't tell me.
And you know the thing that gets me, they can play both sides of the fence. They can play what's for males, and they can play what's for females with this transgender thing. But here's the point. These people want acceptance. And I think they had more acceptance when they was quiet about it, not the fact that they wide open with it. People going to say, well, you know, so you can do what you want to. I just don't want to have part to do with it. Probably don't want to have part to do what you need.
443, you're in there.
No, it's me, Jeff. I took another call. Yeah,
oh,
but,
okay.
Hey, Jeff, he's good, Jeff. He's good. I'm just saying.
I don't care.
Well, I would just tell my players if I was a coach, if you guys don't want to take a shower, everybody understand. If you take a shower, if you take your shirt off, you know the team members, I don't want to hear nothing else about it. Let's play games. Now, slapping on the butts in the NFL, that's going to be coming a whole other situation. That's all I want to say.
Mike, this is the problem. It changes. There is a bonding that goes on in football in the locker room. I don't know what y'all doing there because they don't let me in. But there's a lot that goes on in that locker room, and now that we can't be free anymore in our own locker room, which takes away their freedom.
See, no, Tracy, this is what you're forgetting. They picked the right person. I believe that they picked the right person. These boys are going to bond. They're going to see, oh, you ain't as bad as we thought you were. It ain't like what we thought it was going to be. You might have a few that go. You might have a few. You might have a few. But this just didn't happen by coincidence. There is something more. There's something more happening here. Trust me, they already got ducks in a row. They got it. They got
playing
in it.
No. Listen. No, they don't. This is the problem. He came out. They didn't seek him. Remember, the coaches and the general managers, the franchises are the ones that are having the problem right now. Because when you bring someone into your organization, it changes your dynamic.
It sure does.
See, it's not like they went out and sought him and asked him, please come because we know you're gay and we need for you to come and hang out with us.
Well,
somebody did.
No, Diva.
Well,
the gay community asked him to come out so that they could actually make a public statement about their way of life.
And obviously the president was right with that. I understand something.
I applaud him.
You applaud him, not on this show.
I didn't applaud him. I don't know who you are, and I'm interested. I might want to date you, and then find out years later that you actually gay. No. Come out now. Let us know who you are, and let's be done with it.
All I got to do, listen, all I want you to say is if you walk up to me and I say, ooh, you are good looking, he says, listen, I don't do girls. That's fine. But you don't have to come out to the world and tell me that this is what you want to do and now you want to come play in my sandbox.
And we're going to do our sandbox here because we're going to news and a break. We'll be back after these messages.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news.
Well, you know when the president got in the situation, you know he's going to get drafted. I mean,
I just have a hard time. On one hand, they're saying we don't want to know, we don't want to know, but then on the other hand, when they find out, it's ooh, I didn't know that. Ooh, the reason why these people are making these statements is because heterosexual homophobes make it such a big deal.
The locker room. We're not talking about nothing else. It's a vulnerable position.
Baltimore.
That's all
as a
saying.
General manager.
It's vulnerable.
As
it's
a general
vulnerable.
Manager, it
you
is my job. A lot of this happens in the locker rooms because the people at the top don't get it in order. As a general manager, I'm going to whip them in shape. I'm like, look, ain't no going on, ain't no hazing, ain't no whatever. Y'all ain't doing that. Cut it out because I will cut you. And if I got to revamp my team, then so be it. You think those boys going to lose checks? No, they ain't going to want to lose checks. So So it's up to the general manager and the people at the top to get it in shape. They don't want to get in shape, then they must be homophobic too, because I can't understand for the life of me how they allow stuff to go on.
It ain't the boys don't want to lose checks. The general manager don't want to lose the checks.
His
ass
could
be the one that go.
If 75% of the team doesn't, hold on, if 75% of the team don't take a shower, he can't get mad. Just leave it like it is. That's it. And call it
Mr. Rooney, owner of the
team members, players on a team have got rid of coaches, and they have got rid of general managers.
Mr. Rooney was the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, got so much flack because he was so big on integrating football with African Americans and putting black men, putting black players in the position of quarterback when nobody else would do it. They said it would change the game, it would cause problems, blah, 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 blah. He did it? And do you think any of his players had a problem with that? And if they did, guess what? You gone.
Beyonce can't stand them gays, boy. You can't stand them gays.
And then he don't want nobody to call him a homophobic, but you are.
He said the players union can take him over, huh? My goodness.
When you say you don't want to be around someone who is gay because they're gay, and you guys don't see that they had the same conversation about black people, gay the same as being black? No, it's not.
Listen,
but the conversation surrounding it.
If people don't want to be around it's quite obvious people don't want to be around black. They do it. They show it by where they live.
And we call them bigots and racists.
It's nothing, but it's not against the law being a bigot and a racist as long as
you
don't violate somebody's civil rights. See,
how is
the
somebody
problem
being gay violating your civil rights?
How is not liking them violating their civil rights?
It's not about not liking it. You don't have to like it, but
I'll
call you
what
you are.
Listen. I don't care. How is it that I'm not wanting to be around them violating their civil rights?
Not violating their civil rights. I'm just saying
then,
you don't want to call you a homophobic.
What's your problem?
You're homophobic. That's my problem.
There's no law against being a homophobic.
There doesn't have to be a law. The fact is, you are what you are. A person don't want to be around a black person.
I also like dark complexion black African women. I don't like the light skinned ones.
That's fine. Then I see you're discriminative. That's fine.
Diva,
I can't put you in jail over it, but I can say what I can say. I call you what you are.
Diva, let me ask you a question. Would you undress in front of a known lesbian?
If you address in front of 25 black, 25 men, Diva.
Man, because I would have a thought that he might attack me and he can overpower me.
Mike, ask her this.
A woman because
ask her this question,
she doesn't
Mike.
Have any more power over me than what I
Mike,
allow
ask
her
to this
have.
Question. If she undressed in front of 25 men and none of them got a heart on, how would she feel? Would she say they discriminating against her?
Why would I say that they're discriminating against me? They're just not attracted to me, and there's nothing wrong with
Let's put it like this. Before you started undressing, all of them had hard-ons, but after you got naked, they all got soft.
I wouldn't have a problem with that. That's likely to be the case. If it was, you wouldn't have a problem with it. I don't get mad when somebody's not attracted to you, Bianchi.
Before you start undressing, they all have hard-ons, but when you finally take off the last piece, they're all soft.
It actually was thundering. You can snow today here.
Yeah. And don't forget, tomorrow.
Hey, Congressman Allen West from Florida is going to be with us tomorrow. And I know he's going to come later in the morning, but I want you here for the whole morning.
I prefer to call him Colonel Allen West.
Colonel Allen West?
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be with us, and we're going to have a great conversation with him. I think I'm going to focus in on why Americans are so ignorant when it comes to their political system.
Yeah, absolutely. Because he definitely is in the middle of it, so we'll see what's going on. Bianchi hung himself up.
He needed to. Anybody to go through that?
Diva, I'm not scared of gay people. One of my best employees was a gay guy. I'm just saying.
No, you said homophobic one time when somebody said.
I didn't say
no,
that.
Not
if you're homophobic, does not mean you're scared. It means you don't like something or you're uncomfortable.
No,
it
doesn't.
What does a phobia mean, Diva?
Yeah.
Let's get
phobia
to the
doesn't necessarily mean you're scared.
Diva,
if you look up
does?
The definition
what
of a homophobic,
Diva?
It does not say you're scared.
Diva.
You're
Diva,
not scared meaning
Diva,
that you're afraid that they're going to harm
Diva,
you. You could be scared
Diva,
that you don't.
In front of you.
You're not comfortable with that lifestyle.
What does phobia mean?
Oh, my gosh.
What does phobia mean?
You want my definition of phobia or you want the Webster definition of phobia?
Do you want the real
I
one.
I want the real definition of a phobia.
Okay. Give me a second.
Oh, man.
In the middle of the context.
Also called, I'm not going to waste this time. Because
no, I'll put
here
my context this. In. Okay, phobia is an extremely strong dislike or fear of someone or something.
Where'd you get a dislike at?
He's saying that he's saying by his nature, he gets aroused off of a man's chest. And I'm going by his nature in a locker room as a vulnerable position. And I said if he say he's born this way, he can't have it both ways.
You
and
can
I'm
be
just
born
saying,
that way, or you can be born again.
I don't think you can be born that way,
wow.
But
well,
I think that, well, you know what? Wait a minute, wait a minute.
Jeff and Tracy? That's all I'm
once
saying.
Again,
don't
hold on, wait a minute. Mike, listen. Didn't I tell you, I don't care what Jeff says. Don't say Jeff and Tracy just because we in the same room.
Y'all,
I said something and Jeff said
this?
Something totally different.
Right.
Jeff said something
okay,
totally different.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry, Tracy. Okay.
I said I think that they can be born that way. Jeff says I don't.
Uh-uh.
Did you hear what I said? Y'all didn't hear that.
Now I understood. I'm understood. I stand corrected. Okay.
Okay.
Y'all need to hear. Jeff and I do not think alike.
So me. Okay. So me, you agree, Tracy? Right. So you agree, Tracy? It's a contradiction. If he says he's born that way, that's like me going into a woman's locker room with nothing but their tops off.
Hey, Tracy,
I'm letting you know it's a contradiction because a locker room is a vulnerable position. That's all I have to say. That's it.
That's hey, Tracy.
And what I'm, yeah, what'd you say, Eric?
I got some bad news.
What?
My radio I've had since 1985 that I listen to talk radio on every single day, it just died on me. I'm hurt right now. I mean, I've had this thing since back when Run DMC first came out, and it just died
on
me.
You know what?
Walk this way.
If you send me an email, I'll mail you a radio. Because I gotta make sure you can tune in to WSOM and hang out with us. Because I appreciate you.
Yeah, I mean that's my baby. I'm so hurt.
Why did it break? What did you do to it?
It just I heard a loud pop and it just burnt up.
You know what?
The Lord called it. The Lord called it home. The Lord called it home.
He's broadcasting up in the sky.
And I will say this. Now I got to go back to what I said, and I probably can get in a lot of trouble. A lot of people do not believe the way I believe because I believe that people are born with the propensity to become anything that they are. But I will say this: just because you are born some way does not mean you have to act on it.
I'm going to say it like this. New England Journal of Medicine and the Psychological Journal, whatever that is called, because I don't remember, in 1980, they said that of the cases that they had come in contact with and the people that think that 85% of all people that say that they were gay were messed with as children.
Well, let me say this. From talking with friends of mine who are gay,
mm-hmm.
and they are, and I'm going to go into a religious thought because that's where she came from.
Mm-hmm.
Because men, and because those of us who are Christians, we believe man is born in sin. Wow.
Wait a minute.
And because man is born in sin, you never know what seed of sin you may come up with. Because you do not have to teach a child to lie. A child will come out and lie without you teaching a child to lie.
Right.
And so whatever seeds can be cultivated within that system, after that child comes out, you never know what you'll get. So actually, if you plant a seed and you water it, it's going to bear fruit. Some things come from being messed with. Some things come from being raised in a effeminate house. Because women don't understand. A lot of times they raise a lot of their children to become homosexual and lesbians. And so a lot of times, you know, a lot of things in your environment will shape what you become. But then I believe that people can become born again, which means you change your thoughts. So the same person I was when I was one way, I'm not the same person anymore.
You know what, though?
Well, then, the Bible says something, and it goes to what you say, but it talks about eunuchs. It says some people are born eunuchs. Some people choose to be eunuchs, and some people are taught to be eunuchs. And if you put that, take away the word eunuchs, everything is like that.
But when I also say this, if you really look at this, and that's where the affirmation of marriage comes in. If you have the proclivities to become the homosexual, and you are not married, you should not be having sex without a union anyhow. So those people who say that they are gay and they were born that way, then they need to stay unmarried and do the will of God.
Well, I'm going to have premarital sex. I mean, that's just a fact. I'm not going to sit there and lie.
And what I'm saying is man was not born to have premarital sex. And so those of us who want to always point to,
well,
you know, everybody
in the
else
Bible
is having
they don't get a divorce,
and, what I'm saying. But there's a difference between getting divorced, and especially in the way we do it, because I said earlier that America is obsessed with a lot. But what I'm saying is we always want to pick on people who are homosexual and lesbians, but we don't want to pick on people who are fornicating and shacking up and committing adultery.
Tracy, I'm going to give you a clear double standard and just let you know that there is people that are – driving this.
Oh, absolutely.
And this is how they do it. Tim Tebow was excoriated for being a Christian in the NFL.
And the president did not come out and say
that. Nobody said nothing to him.
No.
Nothing.
You're absolutely right.
You got a basketball player and you got a football player, and they both elicit a call.
From the president.
From the president.
He gonna call me
who I call the poster child and the gay evangelist.
Yeah. He's gonna call me tonight. President Obama gonna call me tonight because I came out.
And you know what? I remember a time when the question was posed: why come the preachers don't say something about everybody shacking up nowadays? Back during those times.
That's what I'm saying.
But the thing is the one thing. I'm reading stupid stuff. But anyway, here goes the deal. It is what you do. It is none of my business what you like to do.
Jeff, I came out the closet.
Yeah, but I told you I'm a man. Nobody
closet.
Has called and consoled me for growing up being a lesbian wrapped in a man's body. Nobody.
Jeff,
I don't appreciate
but
this.
But I came out the closet today.
Jeff, I'll give you a hug next time I'm in town.
All right.
Don't
please.
Let her hug because you know she got the wrong spirit.
Yeah.
Make sure you fully dress.
Do that. You don't want to do that.
Hey, tomorrow, Colonel Allen West from Florida, congressman from Florida, who was a congressman out in Florida, and he is very, very outgoing, will be with us, and look forward to what he has to say to us. It should be a very, very good day. On Thursday, we have Michael Rubin. He's going to be with us. And hopefully, Jeff will be with us on Friday.
I'll be here.
Sis will be with me tomorrow. I'll be home. Mark Manji will be with me on Thursday.
You promised me on Good People Radio, Tracy?
Sir, I told you if you email me your address, I'll send you a radio.
I'll send you a picture of my old radio, too, just in memorial, for tribute.
Yeah, snap a picture of it, man, and send it over.
Yeah, because I got to make sure you can tune in.
Thank you.
Hello?
Y'all don't understand. I got to make sure everybody can tune in to Tracy and Friends.
All right, Trace?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Rich, just giving a call. Yeah, how you doing? It's good to talk to you. Hey, I just want to just add in a little bit there, and I kind of want to ask Diva, I don't know how much you watch this, you know, sports and stuff, but I'm pretty sure, Tracy, I don't know if you remember or not, but I know Jeff probably does for sure. In general, there was a professional football player that played for the Dallas Cowboys. Matter of fact, he was middle linebacker. I think he was Asian. I can't recall his name right now, but he openly came out and said that he was gay, and he was in, like, with the Dallas Cowboys for about, I don't know, maybe about three years, quite a good ball player. But he did come out and make the statement because he said that he was in love with one of the guys on the team. So what I'm trying to say, Diva, in general, it does have an effect on the team. I've been around sports all my life. I mean, Jeff probably can verify that in general and stuff, started teams and coached on high school teams and stuff like that. And the situation of a gay person in a locker room does make a major difference, dear. It makes a major difference.
And
it's a fact. I have a couple friends right now that were in school during the time when I was – yes?
Reg, when we were growing up, did you know that I was a lesbian wrapped in a man's body? See, he's laughing at me. Nobody cares about that plight.
I gotta go, Jeff.
Did you come out to your wife, Jeff?
Hey.
You're about to make some t-shirts, Jeff.
You should come out to your wife so she can lay some hands on you.
Hey, Jeff.
Yes.
Hey, Jeff. I was just gonna say, in general, if you were a lesbian, you know, I mean, it just shows you the difference between male and female. I don't have no problem if you was a lesbian in general, because that was a female thing. So I ain't
got
no problem.
We gotta go. We'll see you tomorrow. Tell us all we love you.
See
you tomorrow.
And friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on News Talk
WSOM.
Happy left eyes are open.
Yeah, y'all gotta realize somebody's gonna pick him up. He's definitely gonna get picked up, and it is what it is. I mean, what can you do? I mean, you can't deny God a job for his labor, his hard work and labor. You know, you can't deny him that. So, everybody just got to be mindful.
Anybody
feel comfortable, don't want to take a shower, don't take a shower, and just move on the day. Now, if somebody starts slapping people's butts because they missed the tackle, then I don't know. If fans start calling him, you know, all types of words, I think he should know that's going to come with the territory. But he's going to make a lot of money, I mean, publicity-wise. I mean,
oh, you
know
it. You know he's going to get mad endorsements.
Right, exactly, for history, too, right. So,
What kind of products is sold exclusively to Glee?
Nike.
What kind of product is sold exclusively to gays?
Not about exclusively.
What are they going to have?
When we want to talk about gays as a population,
they're going to have dresses without cups on them?
Listen, as gays as a group, as far as you conservatives, they own businesses. They're very hard workers, and they support themselves very well if you want to talk about their economics.
I know. You know one thing about their businesses?
So what?
You know one thing about their businesses? They have that little rainbow flag on them, and guess what? I do not patronize them. I'm happy they put those out there.
They don't have no rainbow.
I don't care if they have a rainbow or not. If I like the product, I'm going to buy it.
I don't. I find one that don't have the rainbow flag on it.
And I have a gay uncle who I love very, very much. I have a gay cousin who I love very, very much, and I have no problem being around him.
I had a gay cousin. He's dead now.
Well,
where do you see the... a real homeless and crazy gay person. I mean, their community, I mean, they're self-sufficient. That's all I want to say. Because they know they have the world against them, I guess. I don't
Great.
Know.
Great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, Mike. But the thing is,
right, so they
is
have
that
in common with
let
you.
Me know
so
what you are.
In with you. But so they have something in common with you.
I don't need to know.
I'm just saying the locker room diva is a vulnerable position, and you cannot deny that. And they're saying they're born that way. I'm not homophobic, but I would not normally dress in front of a gay man. Now, if I'm in the YMCA, it's the difference between knowing and not knowing.
With the unknown and what you are, Pianki, you're a homophobe.
Exactly. You are, Pianki. Because you said you don't want to deal with them whether they got their clothes on in the business world, not in the locker room. You just don't like them. And it is what it is. I mean.
Well, I don't shop. I would shop with a black business before I would a white business. I guess I'm a white
too.
Would
you shop
too,
at
huh?
a white business at all, though?
Pardon me?
Would you shop at a white business at all?
If I can't find what I want at the other ones.
Okay, well, would you, if you couldn't find what you want at a heterosexual business and it only was at a homosexual business, would you go there if you knew they were
homosexual? I wouldn't go there. If they got their flag out there protesting
then
what
you
they
are
I won't. If it's a white business, you know, there's a white business, a white velvet tree, the ice cream place. And on the front of their store, they got Jesus this or that. I don't go in there.
Oh, you're a bigot, and a homophobe.
Hold on, D.V. Let me ask you a story, and someone told me this. Now, if you're in a store and you see a long line, and then there's a line that's not long, and you know that cashier, or you have a sense that cashier may be a he, she, or a homosexual, would you go in that line and let that homosexual wait on you, or would you stand in that long line? What would you do?
Who are you talking to, D.V.?
I'm talking to you, Pianki.
How you gonna know whether somebody is a transsexual, man?
No. Let's say someone looks like a he/she, or someone a male will have feminine ways, and you just have a thing he's gay. Would you go? And
I'm swiping.
I
go through his line, but I'm swiping my credit card. That's the only contact I'm gonna have.
But he's touching your food. He may weigh your banana.
No, he ain't touching my food. You said a department store, man. You don't buy no food.
Well, no, I'm talking about a grocery store. I'm just talking about a grocery store anytime.
I would, because I know of a snook store where there's an African American who is gay. Well, he looks gay. He looks feminine, should I say. And I think he is gay.
So you can do business with
but
him.
But I go
Pianki.
Through his line. We have conversation.
Right, so,
I don't have anything. You know, we're dealing with people in the public. You pick and choose, Mike. That's just all it is.
Would you hire a no gay construction worker? If he know how to get some steel and you got a sense that he's gay, would you hire him?
Well,
my foreman do
the hiring. But listen at this.
No,
according to the Bible, Mike, God rains down hell and brimstone on people that sin, according to him. And that hell and brimstone is not discriminatory. In other words, if you're around it, when it starts coming down on that particular individual or group of people, you might get hit in the head too. I don't want to get hit in the head. I stay away
from
that.
They're not going to change you. You know no man can change it. And they change the world war bubble jail. Well, guys get raped in jail, but they're getting raped. They're not doing that.
And also,
you know, that's another thing, too. When they go to jail...
You have someone who choose it, and they choose it because they're in jail for a long time, and it's like, well, what else am I going to have?
But you know what, Dean? I think that when they go to jail, they should have the gays.
People don't choose that. No, people don't choose that.
People
get raped.
Men who are in prison for a long time for basically life. Yes,
no,
they do. They don't consider themselves homosexuals. They consider themselves heterosexuals. But the fact is, they're taking care of their baser needs because they have no other opportunity and no other way.
They can jerk off for that. I'm telling you, a real man is telling you what goes on.
I have people who come back and tell these stories.
Well,
a male who's gay,
right.
A male who's gay
percentage.
Who goes to prison, should he have separate facilities?
A male who is gay should
yes.
not be housed with heterosexual men.
Let me tell
yes,
you what, if you look at lockup, real men, those gang, they talking about a lot of gays in jail. I'm letting you know it's a small percentage. Those real men, those gangs, if they find somebody gay, look on lockup. They want to be in protective custody, PC, because if they look a certain way, trans, they get the hell off my ward. If they come in there looking sick like they got AIDS, the inmates run the jail, believe it or not. The inmates going to say, get that person off this ward or something's going to happen. I'm telling you. And they put them in PC. They haven't segregated. That's a fact. Look it up.
Why don't they put them in there with the women?
Man, them dudes don't play no jail. I mean, give them gangs in jail.
Why don't they put them in with the women, Mike?
Believe it or not, most gay men have had experiences with women. It's not until after that experience with a woman that they realize that they're truly gay. It's very rare to find a man who has never
Why
been
is that, Diva?
Because they don't know
That's
their sexuality
crazy.
Until they
no,
reach...
No, what happened with
no,
the experience? What do you mean, a sexual experience?
No, because you have a lot of men who gone through families or in society where homosexuality wasn't accepted, so they were trying to fit in and fit the mold of being a heterosexual male. So they would be with women, even though they were uncomfortable, and then they get to a certain point in their life where I don't want to hide this, I don't want to do this, I want to be me, and then they just come out and say, yes, I'm just...
So you mean to tell me that once he tried to have sex with a woman, he realized...
Maybe the woman's stuff wasn't good enough, and no other men, he will end up having sex with that woman.
Well, maybe her quote unquote stuff wasn't just up to par.
No,
exactly.
My
well,
God.
If he was uncomfortable with a woman, when he was with that woman and he felt uncomfortable right there, he already knew he was gay. It ain't no change.
A lot of men don't feel uncomfortable because the way the penis operates is it tends to, especially in young men, it tends to have a mind of its own. It tends
no,
to have a mind
not.
Of its own. Whether it's
no,
a female
it
touching
not.
It or a male touching it, he could be aroused and he could be confused.
No, you got me.
You know what, man, listen. When I was a teenager, let me tell y'all this.
That's why people are homophobic. What you're talking about, no, Diva.
Let me tell you what I did. I was a junior in high school. Let me tell you, the dispel that. I was a junior in high school, and we had to catch the public service bus to go from the game home. And I was coming home, and... I was by myself because the teammates, they went one way and I went another way. And I was waiting on the bus, and this black guy walked up to me, and I had on my uniform. He walked up to me and said, oh, you play baseball? And I said, yes, I do. And we talked a little bit. Then he reached out and grabbed my left hand and kind of squeezed it and say, is there anything I could do for you? And you know what I did? I took my right hand and knocked that sucker out. So this stuff about you saying that kids don't penis have a mind of its own, it's totally crazy. How did I know to knock this dude out?
I was about 16 years old at the time. You gonna get a boner. That's the truth in young boys. What I was saying is a young man who is confused about his identity can get aroused by a female touching him or a male touching him. I'm not saying he's just going to see somebody and be aroused. I'm saying he's going to be aroused by either party. Now, when he gets older, then he realizes his true sexual identity.
If a man ever gets aroused off of another man, he has homosexual tendencies inside of his DNA.
I just said, at some point, when we were kids, the girls and the boys took baths together.
Baltimore,
I never said that they didn't have homosexual tendencies. I said that I'm talking about confused young men. That's why I said most men who are gay have been with a woman before.
They're not confused.
When we were kids, Mike,
it's no confusion.
when we was kids, Mike, the boys and the girls sometimes took baths together. So what are you talking about confused?
I ain't never took a bath with a boy. My mother would not allow no matter what age I was.
Your mama was homophobe then.
No, my mom wasn't homophobe. My mom not understood the reality.
Well, she was sexophobe then.
To be sexually attracted to each other together. My mother wasn't a homophobe. I'm a girl. Why would she be a homophobe if she wouldn't allow me to take a bath with a boy? That don't make no sense.
Well, she's sexophobe then.
Yeah, she was. She was afraid of a boy doing something with her girl.
Yeah. When we was kids, sometimes the boys and girls would take baths together.
I wouldn't put them in a tub together either because they don't understand sexual identity. They don't understand sexuality.
Why is it different? Listen to what you just said, Diva. You said you wouldn't do that because your mother didn't want to do that, because that's your nature. Now, someone gay is saying, this is my nature, this is how I was born, I get aroused. When it comes to the locker room and you got other men in there with their shirts off and this man say, I get aroused off of that.
No, Baltimore, you're misreading the homosexual identity. It's not that they just get aroused off of any guy they see. They're attracted to men of the same sex. A homosexual person is attracted to a person of the same sex. That doesn't necessarily mean they're aroused. I'm attracted to men, but I'm not just aroused by men just by seeing them. Whether they're naked or not.
No. I want to say aroused. They get aroused off of a man's body.
That's
in the way
not what
looks.
Makes them homosexual. That's
it
not what
does.
Makes them homosexual. Get aroused.
You know, you tell her, it
being
does.
A man.
That's what makes. No, that is the. Listen, the only way that you can be homosexual. Watch this fact. The only way another man can be homosexual unless do his homosexual act, unless he gets raped or forced to be raped, is unless he gets aroused off of another man.
That's not true. What makes a person homosexual is that they are attracted to someone of the same sex.
That means they get aroused off of the other sex.
Baltimore, I could get aroused by I could be attracted to a man and not be aroused.
I'm talking about, listen, you're playing with words. I'm talking about if another woman gets sexually aroused off of another woman, she's a lesbian. If another man gets a hard-on off of another man, he's a homosexual.
So what makes me heterosexual?
Because you do not get, you do not get sexually aroused by a female. She cannot turn you on. You can see 1,000 naked women, and you won't be come on and lick me and touch me here. And
you
I
do know
aroused.
That
you
there
like,
are
hold
people
up,
in this
month.
World who exist that have a defined attraction in other people, and it has nothing to do with sex.
I'm talking about.
Because you're trying to make it seem like homosexuality is just based in sex, and it's not.
So what is it based on?
It's not. They form relationships. It's not just about sex.
Hold up. Me and my homeboy.
Why do they call it homosexual then?
You're making it seem like what makes a person homosexual is just their fetishizing or the vagina getting wet. That's not what it's all about. They form actual relationships with each other.
What kind of relationships?
Relationships just like heterosexual couples form relationships with each other.
Me and Pionki may be in an environment where we have to... Listen, me and Pionki may be in an environment, let's say basic training. We both as heterosexuals can make in a certain environment see both of us body naked. I'm not going to get aroused off Pionki. He's not going to get aroused off of me. And I'm letting you know if one of us was gay, it's going to be different, ma'am. That's a fact.
I can tell you.
We've been in the shaman environments, ma'am.
You need to have a talk with homosexual men. Just because you're naked. Mean they're going to be aroused because you have the equipment that they're interested in. They have like that's just like I'm not going to get aroused by a naked man just because he's naked. Are you going
when
to get aroused
out of the
by
shower,
any naked
just,
woman you
oh my,
see? There is an
you,
attraction there. It has to be an attraction
there. Do you wrap up
there.
In a towel? Do you wrap up in a towel when you get ready to go in the shower? Or you just throw it over your shoulder.
For what?
When you change your clothes in your locker and get ready to. Go into the shower, do you wrap the towel around you, or do you just walk right on out there and throw the towel over your shoulder and walk straight to the shower?
I don't do public locker rooms. Well, I take that back because when I'm swimming, they do have a locker room. I personally will cover up because I'm just it has nothing to do with sexuality. It just has to do if I had a thing in body, I wouldn't cover up.
Diva, you play Diva. Don't play Diva. You
got
to.
What am I talking about?
You in denial.
You don't want no.
You're in denial. I don't think you're listening to
me. I don't mind walking around my house naked.
Why?
And if my mother's staying over, my sister's staying over, yeah, I'll walk. If I'm going to my bathroom and I'm naked, and I'm going to my bathroom and I'm naked.
Diva, I would not have my sons walk around the house with their shirt off, with their mother or guests, women guests coming over for a reason, and we do it for a reason. And what we're saying is when you talk
about
homosexuality.
Okay, but would you walk around
you
naked if it was just you and your son, or you and your father, or you and your brother?
Of course I would. Of course I would know. Of course I wouldn't do that. But I'm letting you know if we were in a if it was a situation where our sons let's say we had to take a shower together, it's not going to be no arousal. It's not like that. I'm saying
certain
situations like basic training, locker room. I'm letting you know it's a vulnerable position.
I get what you're saying, Baltimore. Saying is you're thinking that just because a gay man sees another naked man, they're going to automatically be aroused, and it doesn't happen that way.
It's 90% chance.
So if you see a woman that you're not attracted to and she strips down naked and you're still not attracted to her, are you going to get aroused? Let me tell you one thing. I was in Ethiopia one time.
If I had sex for a year, if a fat woman brought a ball nothing, I'm going to get hard on her.
We traveled to Ethiopia to a place called Jinka, way down in southern Ethiopia. Where the people still, people to this day, you know, they're nude. The women may have something around their body. The men may have a little this or that, but, you know, basically they nude. Women's breasts out and everything. And you don't see those males walking around with hard-ons and being in the vicinity of the men when they go out hunting. Come on now.
Exactly, because it has to do with attraction. If I'm not attracted to you, I'm not going to be aroused by you. And just because a homosexual man likes...
Well, men attracted to each other to go out hunting, Diva. What kind of attraction are you talking about? Sexual attraction? Do I want to hump you?
No, attraction, period. If a homosexual man, just because that you have parts that he likes, doesn't
mean...
So
none of them are homosexual?
I'm sorry, say it again.
So none of them are homosexual, I guess, because they don't get hard on for being around each other naked.
That's not what makes them homosexual. What makes somebody homosexual is actually that you like the person of the opposite sex. You want to build a relationship with them.
So how do you go about
whatever.
Liking it? You see somebody that they got the right equipment or what?
It doesn't even have to do with equipment. It has to do with chemistry. Chemistry and attraction. A guy is chemically attracted to another guy.
So how do you know he's homosexual?
How do you know you like women?
If you were a male, Mike, and you was a homosexual, wouldn't you be scared as hell to go and make a play on somebody? How would you go about finding out if they want
to
go there?
They tend to know who's gay and not. They tend to know.
What is this? Is this some type of special skill that will work with choosing lotto numbers?
First of all, they have gay clubs, and I guess, Pionki, I don't know. You know, all types of groups have their own lingo, their own signs. I don't know if it's a gay book out there. I don't know if you walk around with
like
your
Illuminati
drawers up
sign,
your butt.
Huh?
I don't know if they walk around with their drawers up their butt. I don't know if that's a sign. I don't know, Pionki,
well,
but what I'm
sign.
Saying is
they just know.
You might get hurt by that. And you come off and you do something like that, people come off a certain way. So what I'm saying is...
Let me break it down to you. This is how it happened. Me and you come across each other in a bar. I'm straight, you're straight, okay? You'll give me a look, and if I reciprocate that look, what does that tell you? If I reciprocate that look, I look at you a little longer, and then I walk over
well,
to
giving
you.
Giving somebody a gay look when they're not gay
is dangerous,
I'm interested. Diva.
Guess what?
What is that? I don't understand.
Diva, giving a heterosexual man a look by a gay person is dangerous. You
that's
better be in
what,
a
oh
gay
God.
Bar.
And what
is
the look? What does the look look like? What does the look look like?
I don't want to know.
Baltimore.
It better be a gay bar.
I'm a woman. Am
my
I not?
Goodness.
I'm a woman. I'm a
Bianchi,
woman. If I tell you.
Do they
you,
lick their
olive
in their
drink?
I'm drinking
giving these conservatives a way to go, Diva, by the way you're talking. And I listen, I want to keep everything balanced, but you're giving these conservatives ammunition the way you're talking.
Well, I'm
I
not.
Need to know what
you're
this look
listening.
Is.
Diva, you got to have some balance here.
Baltimore, I don't know what you're talking about.
When they
because
shake hands with you, do they twiggle their finger in your palm or what?
Man giving another man who has a heterosexual look, and that's not something I said. Just like
Diva,
you know,
saying a lot of stuff out there, and it's not explicit.
And
be
how
more
you
explicit
pick up women,
what you're talking
they
about.
They do it in their own way.
What is the look? suppose a person, you say they do it in their own way. Suppose you've never been with one before, so how you know what it is? Is there a book that tell you this is the look they give you? It has picture illustrations in it? Come on now. Is there a website we go to?
Bianchi, how do you pick up women? How do you show a woman you're interested in her?
But see, you're talking about something
no.
that's
no,
natural.
No. How do you show a woman
you,
that you're
talking
interested
about
in
a natural? I'm not. You talk. What you're talking about with homosexual is unnatural. The way I go
look,
about
I,
making my appearance with women is
age-old,
a natural way.
You're trying to say some stuff, and I'm trying to correct you on it. How do you know? How do you let a woman know you're interested in her?
I didn't. They used to come to me.
Okay, they came to you. Exactly, and they came to you, and they knew that you were a heterosexual male. Because if they thought you were gay, they wouldn't approach you. It's the same thing with gay people. They know who is gay. They know who is not. Some, a very small group, one or two, might have an attraction towards a heterosexual male. They may try to act on it, but they're picking up something from that heterosexual male. They are not going to just be approaching anybody willy-nilly because they don't know. Trust me, they know. And if you spend enough time around gay men,
well, that's
then
not
you
true,
would know.
I had a friend of my daughter. She was about 20 years old. She used to hit on me, and she turned out to be. She had a gay experience. Now she's back with a dude. So come on now.
She had a gay experience. That's something completely different.
It was a
that's
long one too.
Different. Either she had just had an experiment, or she was experimenting.
Her girlfriend came to a job and broke out all her damn car windows. Mike, what was that all about?
What does that have to do with the laws of attraction?
It sounds to me like this gay person was trying to force their way
I
on
guess
this
it was
woman.
Good. I guess it was good.
The same thing happened.
Is she going
to
come in and break out the girl's windows?
Same thing happens to heterosexual couples. I know plenty of women who've broken out men's vehicle windows and tore up their stuff because the relationship was over.
I guess the licky-licky was good.
Some of that stuff's got to be disgusting, boy.
Well, I'm just saying, we got to define what is, and I think somebody, I'm just saying, if you're going to say just follow suit. You know, that's all I'm saying, and judge accordingly. And, you know, if they want to have them in the locker room, don't get mad with people just boycott and say, I don't want to take a shower. No one gets mad. The media don't get upset. Just let it be. Let them play football and just let it go.
So you think it's okay for this young man to be subjected to segregation, bigotry, and hate?
No, I'm violating his civil rights.
There's nothing wrong with that. People don't want to be around him. The hell is.
See, this is different than race because you keep on telling me that you would dress. I would not have my kids undressed in front of a known homosexual.
My daughter changes for Jim all the time.
That's your daughter, Viva. You let your daughter do all kind of things.
And because I know my daughter. My daughter doesn't like girls. My daughter is adamant she likes boys.
Well, we're not taking no chance.
There's no way that I have to be worried about her being sexually attracted to another girl. So I don't have to worry about that. So
you don't know that, but I understand what you're saying, Viva. Apparently Mike feel like I do. I don't want my grandchildren to be around them. especially being taught by none of them, and Mike have a similar feeling.
Okay,
we're not
fine.
Saying we hate them. We're just saying that we look out for the protection of our children, and we have a right to.
You guys are equating homosexuality with pedophilia.
No, I haven't said you said that.
But that's what it sounds
pedophilia
like.
Pedophilia is against the law.
Well, no.
That means if your children are around somebody who's gay.
Matter of fact, in California, it's a lifestyle.
So
in California, it's a lifestyle.
So now, hold on, look, let's leave the kids out of it. You said knowingly, so you already said that you were dressed in front of a known lesbian and,
yes,
you know, across from her. Right. So you don't care that someone may get aroused off of your body?
No. No.
Wow. Okay. Now, if they
get
down, now, if they try to hit on you, don't get mad, Diva. That's all I'm saying.
I hit on by
don't
gay women, and I just, like,
don't
and I just
mad.
Tell them I'm not gay. And they say, oh,
don't
I'm sorry, okay. I've had
don't
gay women.
Mad.
I've had a woman at a club who tell me, look, I know you're not gay, but she, I just want to tell you you're hot.
Did they stay around you, or did they leave?
Yeah, she danced, and she said, can I dance with you? And I'm like, no, I don't dance with females. And so she danced off to the side, and we had a conversation, and she just was telling me, picking the girls that she liked and whatnot. And I mean, we're just, I don't have a problem with gay people. I don't, my uncle, I talked to him about
well,
his
I'm letting you know. Well,
oh,
I'm letting you know it's kind of different than a man dressing in front of a known gay man. I'm saying it's going to cause something.
Yeah,
and
I don't care to be around
you. The key word is knowing. The key word
that's
is knowing,
y'all
people.
Men are homophobes. Y'all think
no,
that
not.
Everybody
no,
wants
you the one that's homophobe.
I'm not
a homophobe.
I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying I'm going to turn into one of them. I'm saying I have a right to say, hold up. I'm not going to undress and show my vulnerable body to a person by
nobody
that nature that make it that I know that they say that they're going to get around. I know the difference between knowing
okay,
and not knowing.
Okay, but let me ask you something. So you have a problem that another man is sexually attracted to you. You have a problem with that.
Do he have a problem with it? I have a problem with it.
Listen, I have a problem with listen. Diva, you're not pitching the scene. If I know he has that, if I know he's gay and he may get sexual arousement, I'm not going to undress in front of him.
Okay,
I'm not
so you have
it,
a problem with
myself.
A guy who may be attracted to you then?
I'm not going to put myself in that position. Listen, if I walk down the street and a gay person say I'm attracted, I'm not
yes
going to say
yes or no question, Baltimore. You have a problem
have a
with
problem.
A guy who is sexually who may be sexually attracted to you. There's nothing
yes,
wrong with
I'm
saying yes, I have a problem with that. I just want to know
yes
if that's it.
Yes, in a certain situation, in a locker room when I'm undressing, yes, I do.
Okay, so that makes
now,
you uncomfortable.
Down the street, I can't.
Hey, I get
right.
that. I get that. Because I don't like dressing in front of people regardless whether they're male or female because I just don't feel comfortable undressing in front of people because I feel like they're judging my body. Not being aroused by me, but they're judging my body. Okay.
Well, I got a very manly athletic body and I don't mind dressing in front of women.
Well, I guess men, you... gay men. Would you have a problem in front of gay men,
Bianchi? I wouldn't
a
want that. If
man.
I know they, if I knew they're gay, I wouldn't. I wouldn't
exactly.
dress in front of them.
Exactly.
If you knew that they weren't gay, you have no problem with getting undressed.
No, you and Bianchi, what we just said, no one in this world can call us homophobic, and I will challenge
no,
you if you call
I'm
me
not calling
homophobic,
you both more
that.
Homophobic. Bianchi is homophobic. Bianchi takes it beyond that uncomfortable feeling.
Oh, okay. Right. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I think you do, Bianchi.
He takes it beyond that. That's why I say homophobia. When you say, I don't like it, I don't want it around me, it's okay to feel uncomfortable. You're going to have that reserve. When somebody
I don't want to be around
when you
nobody
don't know or don't know you, you're going
to
have that thought
that
in your head.
They may be thinking about sticking their dick
all
in my ass.
Is,
hell no.
Just because you believe this person may be attracted to you does not mean that this young man should be subjected to hate, segregation, and bigotry.
I don't want a gay no man to get a peek at my butt cheeks ever. Me and only. I don't want.
He might
I'm
like
sorry.
Your butt cheeks, Baltimore. He might tell you, man, you got some nice butt cheeks.
You better get this woman. I mean, Diva, don't say. Diva, these conservatives will attack you if you say this. This is too liberal. My goodness, this is too
but
right there for
okay.
me.
But when you, if you say, so I take it men don't say, these pants make my butt look too fat, too big.
Well, why
y'all
would you do something to entice somebody? Do you go around pantyless and open your legs with somebody who's looking your way, some male that's looking your way?
No.
So why should Mike want to undress in front of somebody who may be aroused over him?
And, okay, here's the thing. I'm not an ugly woman. I'm not an overweight woman. I do consider myself attractive. So most men, more than likely, if I take my clothes off, they're going to be aroused. But
suppose they're not. What you going to think about
tonight.
Them?
I don't care.
You going to call them? You going to call them some nasty name?
I don't care if a guy is not attracted to me. I don't care. That doesn't float my boat. That doesn't rock my world. That doesn't make my life go around.
So you think men can go into a woman's locker room when they're taking a shower and they just may have a towel over their waist and just be topless? Do you think that's good for a man just to walk in that scene?
No, I'm not saying that's good for a man.
If a man can
contain his arousals, then yeah.
No, Diva. No, you first you said no, but then you say yeah. But we can listen, who can judge that? You gonna say that man cannot be in that woman's locker room because of his nature, right?
It's a co-ed. You do know that they have co-ed showers in certain places, right?
No. That's in Paris or in France somewhere. We're talking about America. Come on,
okay, so do you think that these people are just willy nilly having all the time? We're the only free society that has a problem with sexuality.
What is the concept of don't ask, don't tell, Diva? Do you know the concept of that?
I don't agree with don't ask, don't tell. Because
let's use the military as a perfect example, Diva, right? In basic training, you have in 15 minutes, 60 men have to use 10 showers, and all of them have to shower in 15 minutes, right? And you got to get in ranks. In that situation, you're going to have – that's a vulnerable situation. Now, I agree in basic training at that particular stage, it should be don't ask, don't tell. I don't want to know if you're gay. Don't say nothing. Nobody don't say shit. Right? Now once they pass that environment and they go into their regular assignments in the regular army, you can free out because it's a vulnerable position.
Now, because you do know that.
Hold up, listen. Listen to the Diva, hold up now. Hold up. Now listen, when a gay person comes out and says that, you cannot deny that if it's his nature to get aroused off a particular man's body and how it is, you cannot say knowing someone in that position is not going to cause a different situation than not knowing. And it's
the
same thing as a heterosexual.
What's the difference in knowing that beforehand and then not knowing?
No, I'm talking about other people knowing. I'm not talking about the person themselves.
Baltimore,
okay.
Hear me out.
Okay.
You said that in basic training, they shouldn't know if a person is gay or not. What's the difference in knowing after basic training? Because if they're gay, according to you, they're going to be sitting there with a hard on in the shower.
No, I'm not. Oh, listen, Diva, listen to me. Hold up. In basic training, it's a vulnerable position because of the shower situation, right? Right?
Right.
And you should not let nobody know. It should be don't ask, don't tell. But when you come out, you don't have to be in that situation. You got your own quarters, your own private showers and this and that. You can come out and do that.
Not every base has private showers because at Fort Campbell, when you live in the barracks, they have communal showers still.
Listen to me. I've been in the military. Listen to me, Diva. In the base shower, you can come into that, but you when you go in that bathroom, each person has their private shower. Okay,
I lived at Fort Campbell. I visited my husband, now my ex-husband, when he was stationed at Fort Campbell. Okay, there when he was in the barracks before I moved down there, he had to take communal showers.
It's not open like basic. Ma'am, I understand what he's talking about. There's a difference between a basic training environment and when you go on a duty station in the barracks when they're at their regular jobs. It's not like basic training, ma'am. It's not vulnerable.
They have open showers. What's the difference? Open showers in basic, open showers on base.
It's
what's the
difference? Because the difference is, listen, you have 10 showers, you have 60 naked men trying to hold up 10 showers, and they got 15, and I'm saying it's a vulnerable position.
Oh, okay, so you're saying they don't have enough showers for all those males,
right.
So you got males.
It's a vulnerable position. Yeah, it's a vulnerable. Listen
to me, and
I'm speaking
facts. Okay, I get what you're saying.
Right. Stay with me, because I live this. Stay with me.
So you got six people in the shower, at least three people in the shower at a time.
No, you can't do. I'm talking about basic training for y'all. You know we're talking about that.
Okay, so wait a minute. You mean to tell me you have like three men under one shower head?
No. Listen, in basic training environment, when we get our basic training, people take showers as they go and they come as they please. So it's not vulnerable. And when you do go in there, you may have three showers that's separate and may have their stall. So people come and go in there, please. And listen, people don't say, oh, I'm gay. But in the locker room, since we're in the NFL, they're just going to have to make. Well, I don't know why you're confused. You got to stay on the sexuality.
You're saying in basic training you have 10 showers, 60 men. So is it six men per shower head?
No.
Because if they're bumping bodies against each other, then yeah, I can see if that's
Diva. In basic training, you may have 20 minutes, 15 minutes for 60 men to use 10 showers.
Okay,
and
so 60 men going in, so six men at a time taking showers. What I'm telling you is...
No, it's not
how
like
the hell
that.
Do 60
Hold
men
no,
take
no,
a shower
no,
in 20
not,
minutes?
No,
tell me.
No, no, it's
how
not
long
exactly
do they stay
Diva,
at the end of the head?
You have to stay with me, Diva. Listen to me. I've lived this. Learn to me. As a hero,
I'm trying to figure
man,
out what your
this.
Biggest...
Show me the mouth, is. Mike. Show us the mouth, will you?
Listen, you have to go.
15
go,
minutes,
listen.
60 men got to take a shower in 15
look at
minutes.
Right.
And you only got 10 shower heads.
Listen. In
I mean, you go
way,
in there, you lather, you basically
right, no,
barely lather
no, Diva,
and rinse
Diva,
up and come out.
No, Diva, listen, you have to use the rate of time. And in that
did
rate
you
of time,
do it, Mike?
People,
Mike, did
of
you
course,
do it?
Because we have.
All
right,
listen. Walk us through it the way you did it.
Okay, listen. Please listen to me. And
we are listening.
And listen to Matt. Look at your verbal, the rate of time. You have maybe have 60 to 70 minutes, and you only have 10 showers. In that time, look at the time period. You have 15 men, and all men have to get showered. During that time with that constraint, you're going to have men coming up, waiting for people to get out of showers, hurry up, do this and that. People are going to be standing around. You're going to see a man naked body. That's just a fact. You're not going to go with your eyes closed. And what I'm letting you know, look at that clusterfuck at that convenience. That's a clusterfuck. Even though we're hurrying out, you got men naked bodies around. And didn't I say that men are hetero? Sexual, I can see 1,000 naked men and I'm gonna die. And I'm saying there's a person that's a heterosexual, a homosexual that's born that way, when they're in that environment seeing all those naked men bodies, they're not gonna act like that because of their nature. That's all
I'm
gonna say.
Here's the game, Baltimore, those men, and what don't ask, don't tell, you had plenty of gay men taking showers with you. You didn't know it because they weren't out there.
Exactly.
And you didn't know.
Exactly.
And they were still
hold
gay.
Up.
So
and
you're acting like they will act
no,
different. That's not true
me.
Because gay men
listen
have been
me.
Taking those showers with heterosexual
listen
men.
Listen to the verbal. There's a difference between knowing and not knowing
no,
in that situation.
No, it's not. According to you, Baltimore, they get aroused just by seeing another naked man. They would have been aroused at that time, too. So you're not making any sense.
Diva, Bianchi just told us if we know we dressing in front of a known gay man and a gay man.
The only difference is you. The only difference is you, how you would deal with it knowing that the person behind you is gay. The person in front of you is gay. That's the only difference that's going to change.
You say knowledge don't. And see, look, you say education. Knowledge is power, and the knowledge makes us have our choices. And
you know what? What happens when the known gay. What happens when
bro.
The openly gay and another man takes a long time in the shower? Where's the mind at then?
That's impossible when you're in basic training because they're going to come in and get you.
Who? Another gay?
A drill sergeant.
He may be gay too.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Pianca, between not knowing and not knowing, don't tell and don't, in that certain
environment? Absolutely. I'd rather not know.
But the fact is, you're trying to push, then I'm gonna take precautions. Again, you're putting that on the gay person. It's not the gay person who's gonna change. It's you who's gonna change. Because it's you who's gonna feel different and act different. Yes, it is. The gay person that you didn't know was gay, he ain't did no harm.
So all of a sudden you find out he's gay, automatically he's going to have a hard on. I would not blame a woman that knows I'm a homosexual, knows I'm going to get a hard off on her in my nature. I would not blame her if she would not want to dress
in front of me. Let me ask you another question, Diva. Would you marry a bisexual?
Hell no, I wouldn't marry no bisexual.
How would you know?
You won't know unless you ask, and if they're lying about it, then you won't know until you find out.
So he's sticking male booty and sticking you too.
But there are some signs that you could say that you could tell on a down low man. There are signs. A woman has to be open to the signs. That's why down low men are very particular in the women that they choose to be with in a relationship, so that they can hide their sexuality, because those women aren't going to be paying attention to signs. There are signs that he's interested in other men.
So it's an arranged marriage.
And you're in bed. Now, some heterosexual men like to get a little extra kinky in bed. You know what I'm saying? But when it seems like it's just a requirement and a
kinky, like what? Want you to get on top of them and lay on their back?
No, if you got a man who wants you to use a dildo on him, you might want to question that. You got a man who wants you to stick anything in his back door, you want to question that. If you got a man, you're out, and he's constantly checking out other men, and he's looking at the man, and you think the man is handsome, and he say, no, babe, it's for you. No, you want to question that. You want to question when he's overtly metrosexual men, I have a problem with, because I question them. When he's overtly with his grooming and everything, I will question that.
Well, you're a homophobe, then.
I question it. What?
You're a homophobe, then.
I'm not a homophobe. It doesn't make me a homophobe because I want to marry a guy.
What come you don't want to marry? He's a nice guy.
I want to marry someone who is attracted to someone else of the opposite sex.
It doesn't have to be sexual attraction.
Just like a man could cheat, a heterosexual man can cheat, a bisexual, I don't know. First off, I don't want a man who is attracted to other men. That doesn't make me homophobic. It's something I don't like. Just like I say, Baltimore's not homophobic.
Well, when I say I don't want to be around one, so why you call us homophobic?
Dressing in front of homophobic men. You're a homophobic because you take it to another level. You don't like being around them. You don't want to associate with them.
Confused, Diva. Why can't he be confused like that little kid or that other person?
Diva, you are
a
homophobe.
I don't want to be in the shower with a gay man. That's fine. And I said that's fine. You could be uncomfortable with that. There's nothing wrong with being uncomfortable. But it's a big difference when you're homophobic and you don't want to be around them. You don't want to associate with them. You want nothing to do with them.
If your partner wants to stick a dildo up his butt and you say that's gay and you question that, you're homophobic, like he's saying.
And what y'all got dildo in the house for anyway?
He's trying to identify my partner, whether or not my partner is gay, does not make me a homophobic.
Well, what do you use the dildo for anyway? Why you got the dildo in the house? You want some woman with you in the dildo?
Exactly.
Oh, my
exactly.
God.
You and another woman was using the dildo? Why y'all got the dildo in the house for anyway? You a homophobe, Diva. Diva, you a homophobe.
Well, to each his own. I mean, a woman can use a dildo.
I'm not attracted to men who are attracted to other men. That makes me homophobic. Okay. Whatever.
You don't want to marry him.
Marry a Muslim. I won't marry someone who is Hindu either.
You won't marry somebody that goes both ways. What's a hydrophobe? She hydrophobe.
Is it a double-headed dildo?
That makes you homophobic as well.
Oh, boy.
Hydrophobe.
I tell you, this is something else.
She's scared of men. She would not have sex with a man to go
to the dresser drawer and pulls out a dildo. Now,
not
is it a double? Is it a double hand dildo or is it one with balls on it?
Would you marry a woman who went both ways?
Listen, tell me the truth.
Did you marry a woman who went both ways?
I would marry a woman if she, I may
not
have.
Not normally.
Probably.
No, would you marry a woman that you knew was...
I would not put it like this. I would not put it like this. I would not get a divorce to a woman that tells me after I married her, she made her did a little licky-licky back in her little college days. I wouldn't.
This is different because that's someone who
gets...
Suppose
she go to the drawer and pull out a dildo, Mike. She say, come on, boy.
That's not someone who is bisexual. That's someone who may have had an experiment.
I would divorce her.
Would you marry a woman who is bisexual?
Would I marry a woman bisexual? No, I wouldn't marry a woman bisexual.
Okay. Would you, Pianki?
No, I wouldn't, but we're talking about you, Diva. You already
exactly.
know where I am.
You don't want
we
the mirror to turn back on
that.
You.
You're the liberal one in the bunch, Debra.
I'm not
right,
a liberal.
Exactly.
You guys label me as liberal, but I'm not a liberal.
No, you try
okay.
to have your double standards. We try to be consistent.
No, I don't have double standards.
So you saying if the news will come out and say 75% of his players boycotted and not taking showers. Do you say these players will have a problem with that?
I wouldn't say that they're homophobic, but I'd be like, come on, people.
Thank you.
As long as he's playing the game
saying.
And he's not hitting on you, then
that's
what's
all I'm saying,
the
problem?
Diva.
People just don't feel comfortable.
Right,
you can't.
They have a
right,
you can't just.
That's all I'm saying.
They have a right to feel
expect for people to shun,
right, like
shun their fears away like that. How many people are gonna tell you that I don't believe in Jesus like I do? Because
and
they
you
fear
cannot
that's
say,
gonna happen.
And you cannot just say, and you not, and you cannot equate that as racism. White people saying we don't want to play with this black person and walking out the locker room. You can't equate the two the same, Diva. It's about sexuality. You don't want nobody to get aroused. It's just uncomfortable.
All right.
You can't equate.
Okay, Baltimore. I take it men and women look at homosexuality differently.
No, it's
the,
no, the
reason
it's
why
only one
I
definition.
Look at it differently is because I actually associate with gay people. I'm around them, and I love them, and I talk to them, and I speak to them, and I get to know them. That's
why.
Why
can't we get one definition of homosexuality and be with
it?
We should get one. It shouldn't be ambiguous, Diva, homosexuality.
What do you mean? How is
it
ambiguous? How is it ambiguous?
It wouldn't be ambiguous if you just say this. When another, when one sex get aroused, get an erection or get or whatever off of the same sex, that's it. Bottom line. That's it.
No, it's not. Because I don't consider myself a heterosexual because I get aroused by just seeing a man. Because I don't get aroused just by seeing a man, whether
no.
it's naked or clothes.
No.
I'm a heterosexual because I would want to engage in intimate relationships with a man and not a
woman. Now, Diva, if you say you get aroused off of another woman, I wouldn't call you. I mean, do you get aroused off of another woman?
If I get aroused off of another woman, you'd have to question my sexuality. No, I don't get aroused off of women.
So guess what? You just proved my point.
I don't get aroused off of men just because they're men either.
No, you get aroused off of men because you're heterosexual.
No, I don't get aroused off of men because they're just because they have the parts that I like. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's more than just them having muscles or no breasts and a penis.
I'm quite sure if you was a lesbian, you wouldn't get aroused off of a homeless, bummed out lesbian. You would probably get aroused off of a woman who looks good. Come on, see, you playing with games.
I come across good looking men all the time, Baltimore, and I don't get aroused just because they're men. I don't care if they're naked. I'm not going to get aroused. I'm going to get aroused because
I'm
engaging in a relationship
aroused,
with.
It's off of a man. But when you do get aroused, it's off of a man. That's a fact,
exactly.
Right?
Yes,
that's
you're
just,
right.
Exactly. And you
but
don't
what
get
I'm trying to tell you is
homosexuality
is not just about getting aroused. Heterosexuality is not about getting aroused.
Well,
it's
if you don't maintain a relationship with someone. No, it's ambiguous. No, Listen to me. You mean to tell me, listen, if me and my homeboys, we might go out, we together, he don't get aroused off of me. We have a relationship, but we're not homosexual. So what you talking about by your definition? You got to put your definition and apply it to life. And I want to apply these definitions to life, and if we can be consistent, we won't have this turmoil and people playing games.
You and your homeboy are not going to get aroused, are not homosexual because you are not going to want to engage in an intimate relationship with each other. And intimacy is more than just sex.
No.
There's no chemistry between you and your homeboy.
You're looking at my homeboy,
you're homeboy
looks
like, man, I
me
would really like
to be with
him.
No, intimacy does not have to be with sex. Me and my homeboy are intimate. I can go to him and I can confide him into things.
That's not intimacy. You're equating intimacy with sex.
Intimacy is not sex,
but intimacy is more than just me going to a friend and confiding in a friend. And talking to a friend. Intimacy has to do with chemistry, attraction. Those two things create intimacy.
You have chemistry together. That's why we can hang out together.
You don't have chemistry. You don't have,
I don't have chemistry
romantic
with my homeboy
chemistry
we...
towards your friend. If you do, then yeah, I would have to question your sexuality.
No, hold on. Me and my boy, yo, we grow up together. We have different backgrounds. We do have a chemistry. My friends that I associate with, we have some type of chemistry together. Even all the groups that I'm a part of, we have chemistry. My business partners,
okay,
we have chemistry together.
Okay.
Now, you're talking about sexual, but we don't have sexual chemistry together, girl. What are you talking about?
You guys don't have a sexual interest in each other.
I'm done. Diva, if you play this tape, man, listen to what you're saying.
Baltimore, I'm sorry. I can't buy the fact that you're saying that homosexuals just get aroused just by seeing a naked body of the person that they're of the group that they're sexually interested
I'm saying that's what makes you a homosexual if you get aroused off of the same sex. That's
arousal has nothing to do with sexual interest. Yes, sexual interest. You can be sexually interested in somebody and still not be aroused.
You mean to tell me if someone did, if another man gets an erection off of another man, you're not talking about sexual arousal. You're playing with words.
Oh, you do know that you can be sexually interested in someone and not be aroused, right? Do you get aroused at every female you see and you say, damn, she look good?
I am not sexually interested into none of my homeboys.
Are you going to get a boner off of every woman you see that you think looks good?
Yeah, listen, if I look at a woman...
Yes or no question. Are you going
to
get a boner off of every...
No, I don't.
You see that you looks good.
No, I do not.
Okay,
no, I do not.
Saying
okay,
is the
listen,
same thing happens for
them,
homosexual men.
Them,
you don't get a boner seeing a naked
see
man.
If I see the women in the locker room with the tops off, whether I'm married or not, I guarantee you I might get a roused off of them.
Okay.
Listen, we had a case in John Hopkins. I want you to Google up this case, John Hopkins, and this guy was in the inner city messing with black females, and he was an OBGYN doctor male, and he had a camera. He tried to say that, you know, he tried to use his ID where they had them little braces around their neck, and he had a camera. He was taping people. All tapes had hidden cameras and all this. So you got to watch, and I'm letting you know
sexuality. So I have a male gynecologist, and I've never had a problem with him.
And you never know, though.
But,
look at that
case. Yes, I will know. I can tell if
Google
a man is giving me an exam or if he's fondling me. There's a big difference.
Those women didn't know until they found out.
There's a difference between fondling and an exam.
Well, guess what? When he asked,
now, I won't know if he's getting off from getting an exam doing a clinical exam, but I highly doubt it.
Listen, when he brings you back for your exam and for your results and he tells you to take your clothes off again, you need to question that. That's all I'm saying.
Of course. I'm not going to say no, don't question. Of course you need to question that. But in the extent that you have your first exam and he's examining you there are some doctors, will there be some OBGYNs who play around with their patients? Yes, there's been cases of that, but that's not all. So that proved my point. Because you can have an OBGYN, a heterosexual man, like Dina, and does that job on a regular and not get around.
I can request a female doctor. I can request a male doctor. I can request a female doctor, right? And listen, if a doctor says that he is gay before he looks at, makes me cough at my balls or, you know, or my testicles, if he says, if they want to give me a colon cancer check, if I got to get that finger up my butt, or they check my butt, and if I know my doctor homosexual, I have a right in that vulnerable position
I'm
not going to go ahead and doing it. And knowing and not knowing is not knowing. If I don't know he's gay, my doctor's gay, and he stuck my finger up my butt, I don't care. So what?
Okay.
I don't know. But knowing is different.
Again, you prove my point. It's the perception of you. It's you that changes, not the gay person.
No, I know facts.
Because they're going to be gay
whether
you know or not. Their body is going to respond the same way whether you know or not. You thinking that they're only going to respond if you know. That doesn't make any sense. Men who are heterosexual men are OBGYNs.
Would you want a known lesbian being your OBGYN?
I had a lesbian gynecologist. Didn't bother me.
Okay, she played around with it and everything, did all that.
No,
okay.
She didn't play around. She did a clinical exam just like a male doctor would. There was no difference.
Okay, and when she goes home, she's getting aroused off of what she's looking at
every
day.
Oh, that's her. If she getting aroused, I'm pretty sure my male doctor, my heterosexual male doctor does the same thing when he goes home to his wife.
How did you know she was a lesbian? How did you know that?
That she was a lesbian. I knew she was.
How did you know that? How did you know?
She's not secret with it. She was out.
False.
Everybody knew she wasn't secret about her sexuality.
No, in what way? You know,